Ladies and gentlemen, before, I hope this doesn't start a mass stampede out of the room. However, tonight we are having elections. If you do not have your badges, your vote doesn't count. So, you have between now and say 9 o'clock. Let us shh. I don't have a gavel, but yes. Let us call Let us call the second general session of the Convention of the California Council of the Blind to order. Welcome to everyone. I recognize that sound. All right. We have a great deal of business to conduct this evening. I want to recognize some of our guests from out of state. I first, however, want to mention that our ACB National President Chris Gray left a phone message last night. We got back to the room, and I called him. Chris's you know, I work in government, and there are times when I'm so thankful I work in government. Chris's boss, at the last minute, canceled his leave. His boss said, "We need you in the office. You can't come down here." So President Gray is not here, and so I did want to acknowledge that, and he certainly sends his regrets. His heart's with us. He truly wanted to be here. We have already heard this afternoon from our fellow ACB board member Patrick Sheehan. You'll hear from him a little later. But there are some other very distinguished out-of-state guests with us that I want to recognize. First of all, and Al, I hope the Greyhound bus is in a prominent place of honor in your home, but I want to recognize Al and Connie Gill. Yeah. For those who don't know, I think it was 1995 or 96 when I was president. I figured after all of the years that we had heard Al's wonderful Greyhound bus rendition story, that we went out and we found him a scale model Greyhound bus, and we awarded it to him at a banquet. All right, he's got it at home. So Al and Connie are here from Washington State. We have a very wonderful, warm relationship with our friends from Hawaii. We reestablished a kind of exchange program that had fallen by the wayside for a few years, and I think we started it, what, Jeff, 2 years ago? Yeah. Where we send representatives to each other's conventions. This past March, Donna and I represented CCB at the Hawaii Association Convention. It was an expensive convention, though, because Donna and I ended up buying a timeshare while we were over there. which we're going to be going back to and using this March, but our representatives, the people visiting from the great state of Hawaii, are here at this convention. Norman Ota and I'm going to mess this up, Laureen, but Laureen Kukunoba? Kokino, oh! I was thinking of Yukonuba, so I don't. Coquito! I made it a lot worse than it was. Well, all right, Pomerantz is almost as bad, so what can I say? But we welcome Norman and Laureen, and the weather's almost as good as the weather over in Hawaii. Not quite, but almost. Aloha! We also want to recognize the secretary for ACB, and it was great fun at our national fall board meeting that we had in Nashville a few weeks ago, we all sat around and said to Bob Seliger, your wife wants to come to a California convention, let her go. So Donna Seliger, our ACB secretary, is here with us this weekend. Yay! That was Dominic Martinelli. We take no responsibility. We need intervention from the Domestic Violence Task Force here. We are a family after all. I believe that that covers our guests from out of state. I don't think we have anybody from Washington. Okay. So welcome to all of you. Our conventions here in California, I've been to probably a dozen and a half state affiliate conventions, other ACB affiliate conventions. Our conventions are unique. And you can take that any way you'd like. So we've taken care of welcoming our guests. Jerry Arakawa, are you here? I know Jerry wanted to make an announcement. It's not a happy announcement, but it's one that that needs to be made because we were friends with these with at least one of these folks. So Jerry, if you can get to a mic.
Thanks, Mitch. Ladies and gentlemen, within the past 3 weeks, many of us lost two very good friends, and the Department of Rehabilitation lost two fine employees with the passing of Gonzalo Menzo and Wayne Keeney. These men were both comparatively young and died rather unexpectedly. And I'm always reminded at these times how precious life is and how brief is our time on earth. And those of us who knew Gonzalo and Wayne know that although they were very different in terms of their personalities, both were caring, giving men with tremendous zest for life. So I'd like this group to observe a moment of silence to pay our respects to and to honor the memory of Gonzalo Menzo and Wayne Keeney.
Let's have a moment of silence.
Thank you very much.
And I've got to say thank you, Jerry. Yeah, I knew Wayne 30 years. We used to bowl together. Wayne wasn't the most popular rehabilitation counselor in the department because Wayne never pulled a punch. And we need more counselors like Wayne Keeney. I used to call him Machine Gun. If you ever heard him talk, you know why. Yeah, we lost a good both of them. I'm sure. I did not know Gonzalo, but I can tell you we lost a good man. And now that he's gone, I can tell this publicly. Wayne Keeney was Rodney King's rehab counselor. And Wayne told me shortly after the riots, he said, and I had a job lined up for him as a construction worker in Glendale the next day. And that's how Wayne talked. He was a great man. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. All right. We have to conduct some business. And the man who has been handling our credentials for a number of years now, and he's very good at it, is Frank Welty. So for our credentials report, I bring you Frank Welty.
Okay, let me just see if I have everything in order here. Oh, something's missing. Just a moment. Here we go. There we go. Okay, as is my custom, I want to first thank the members of my committee and then do a bit of an explanation and then proceed with the report. First, I want to again thank Steve Fort for his marvelous work in preparing Braille copies of the credentials information, which makes it much easier for us to do the work here at the convention. and he takes the information that he gets from the office and he puts them on the individual cards for us. I want to thank also Steve today for doing some more brailing. I want to thank Coletta Davis for doing some tracking down of chapters today. And I also want to thank Rob Turner, who's a new member of the committee, for doing some brailing today and also tracking down some chapters for us. And also in advance, I want to thank him because he's going to help do some overdue research that we're going to be looking into updating and possibly streamlining our procedures. So I'm looking forward to Rob joining us here on the committee. Again, I also want to thank Ed and the rest of the staff in the office there, and Marilyn, thank you, Bernice. They're always extremely helpful. They do a lot of work in gathering data that we need here in our committee, and it's greatly appreciated. Now, finally, for those of you that are new here, let me explain what this strange institution is called the Credentials Committee Report. Every member of CCB who is a regular member of CCB here gets to vote during our conventions here, whether it's an election today or whether it's business later on in the convention. Also, for the benefit of those many members who are unable to join us, each chapter and special interest affiliate is given a number of votes proportional to their members. In the case of local chapters, for every 5 members that they have, they get a vote, and that number is rounded off so that if you have, say, 33 members, you end up getting 7 votes as if you had 35 members. And you have at least 5 votes for the chapter as a minimum. And special interest affiliates get only 5 votes, no matter how big they are, because it's assumed that most of those folks in those special interest affiliates are already members of a chapter. One other thing is that because some of us belong to more than one chapter, we're only counted for chapter voting purposes once, and that's the chapter that is known as our home chapter. For example, my home chapter happens to be the San Mateo chapter, even though I also belong to the Silicon Valley chapter. So when we figure out the number of people to vote, that's what we're going by, is these home chapter members. Now, I'd like to thank all of the chapters who got their information in a timely manner. Specifically, we had 23 chapters that met the deadline of September 27th for providing credentials information to the office, which is required by the Constitution. There were 8 more chapters which did not make the deadline. However, as of today, they did get us the information. And when I get to them, I am going to request a motion to accept their credentials. And finally, we had, I believe it's 8 chapters that will not be seated either because they are not here or because we did not receive credentials information from them. So what I'm going to do is read the credentials report first for those 23 chapters in alphabetical order that were timely in the report. Then I will follow by the 8 other chapters, and then I will read the 8 chapters that will not be seated. All right. I will begin with, and again, because we have already taken care of reviewing this information in the Credentials Committee meeting this morning, if anybody wants to make a comment, please reserve your comments until the end of the report. ACB Capital Chapter, President and Kaiser, Home Chapter Members, 60, votes 12. Delegate, Norma Guerrero. Alternate Delegate, Rhonda King. Active Blind Inland Valleys Chapter, President, Nellie Emerson. Home Chapter Members, 21, votes 5. Delegate, Glenda Castle. Alternate Delegate, Nellie Emerson. Association for Multicultural Concerns, President, Lillian Scafey. Home Chapter Members, 37, votes 5. Delegate, Andrew Kohlmeier. Alternate Delegate, Lillian Scafey. Bayview Chapter, President, Catherine Skybers. Home Chapter Members, 57, votes 11. Delegate, Catherine Skivers. Alternate Delegate, Steve Fort. California School for the Blind Alumni Association, President, Elmer Chapson. Home Chapter Members, 19. Delegates, Al Gill. Alternate Delegate, none. Votes, 5. Central Coast Low Vision Council, President, Michelle Mason. Home Chapter Members, 17. Votes, 5. Delegate, Peter Schellen. Alternate Delegate, Michelle Mason. Compton Council of the Blind, President, Michael Williams. Home Chapter Members, 48. Votes, 10. Delegate, Betty Dukes. Alternate Delegate, Michael Williams. Glendale Burbank President, Rob Turner. Home Chapter Members, 29. Votes, 6. Delegate, Rob Turner. Alternate Delegate Keith Johnson. Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, President John Ross. Members, 20. Votes, 5. Delegate, Walter Shavira. Alternate Delegate, John Ross. Greater Los Angeles Chapter, President Artis Bazin. Home Chapter Members, 35. Votes, 7. Delegate, Richard Harmon. Alternate Delegate, Artis Bazin. Greater San Joaquin Valley Chapter, President Mary Beth Randall. Home Chapter Members, 17. Votes, 5.
Shh.
Delegate, Mary Beth Randall. Alternate Delegate, Debbie Flowers. Guide Dog Users of California, President Ann Kaiser. Members, 139. Votes, 5. Delegate, Ken Metz. Alternate Delegate, Shirley Manning. High Desert Chapter, President Braden Hogarty. Home Chapter Members, 32. Votes, 6. Delegate, Braden Hogarty. Alternate Delegates, Dominic Martinelli. Inland Empire Chapter, President Foster Brown. Members, 75. Votes, 15. Delegate, Bill Powers. Alternate Delegate, Bessie Dunn. Orange County Chapter, President Andrea Pitzenberger. Home Chapter Members, 19. Votes, 5. Delegate, Andrea Pitzenberger. Alternate Delegate, Catherine Schmidt-Whitaker. Orientation Center for the Blind Alumni Association, President David Jackson. Members, 20. Votes, 5. Delegate, David Jackson. Alternate Delegate, Alan Ramos. Pyramid Chapter, President Oneta Sally. Members, 19. Votes, 5. Delegate, Oneta Sally. Alternate Delegate, Ahmad Rahman. Redwood Empire Chapter, President Beryl Brown. Home Chapter Members, 67. Votes, 13. Delegate, William Gillespie. Alternate Delegate, Sean Ryan Paola. San Diego Chapter, President Lee Morton. Members, 34. Votes, 7. Delegate, Jerry Wilson. Alternate Delegate, Larry Freeman. San Francisco Chapter, President Winfred Downing. Home Chapters, 33. Votes, 7. Delegate, Winfred Downing. Alternate, Linda Perel. San Gabriel Valley Chapter, President Vincent Calderon. Members, 53. Votes, 11. Delegate, Patricia LaFrance Wolf. Alternate Delegate, Dee Dee Mann. San Mateo County Chapter, President Gene Ackerman. Members, 83. Votes, 17. Delegate, Gene Ackerman. Alternate Delegate, Frank Welty. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind Chapter, President Lupe Medrano. Members, 72. Votes, 14. Delegate, Roger Peterson. Alternate Delegate, Mike Keithley. And now I'm moving on to those chapters which received late dues, or rather, which gave us late information, so that, Mr. Chairman, I believe that we will probably need a motion to accept those when I finish reading my report.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Braille Revival League of California, President Roger Peterson. Members, 36. Votes, 5. Delegate, Lee Morton. Alternate Delegate, Sandra Fancher. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, President Bernice Gandarian. Members, 62. Votes, 5. Delegate, Donna Sanchez. Alternate Delegate, Bernice Kandarian. California Library Users of America, President Leslie Tom. Members, 25. Votes, 5. Delegate, Leslie Tom. Alternate Delegate, Peter Pardini. East Los Angeles Chapter, President Louis Herrera. Members, 32. Votes, 6. Delegate, Ramona Craig. Alternate, Louis Herrera. San Bernardino Chapter, President Carol Savey. Home Chapter Members, 29. Votes, 6. Delegate, Jean Brennan. No alternate delegate. San Diego Braille Club, President Charlene Ornelas. Members, 20. Votes, 5. Delegate, Charlene Ornelas. Alternate delegate, Jacqueline Jackson. Alameda County Chapter, President Rose Harder. Members, 15. Votes, 5. Delegate, Katrina McCurdy. No alternate delegate. Greater Long Beach Chapter, President Robert Wendt. Members, 19. Votes, 5. Delegate, Robert Wendt. Alternate, Lewis Preston. And the following chapters will not be seated either because we did not receive their information or because they were not it appears that their representatives were not present.
Because we're going to have a motion to accept those eight chapters, but I think we should first hear from those eight, or hear which eight chapters we are not seating first. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. And actually, I think it may be nine, but Antelope Valley, Blind Students of California, Butte County Council, El Dorado Chapter, Golden Gate Chapter, Humboldt Chapter, and I'm going to check a couple more here on my list, just a moment. Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California and Solano Adult Braille Club. And Mr. Chair, that concludes my report. And I think we're now open to motions.
All right. So we the chair will entertain a motion regarding the status of the eight chapters which provided its delegate information this morning.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Martinelli. Now we have a motion to accept and a second. Any discussion? Who seeks the floor? Can we get you to a microphone, Ed? Can you give the lady a hand? We are on tape. Hang on 1 second.
My question is that I thought that I had sent in the credentials. According to some computer glitch, I guess it didn't get there.
You're Blind Students California?
Yes.
Let us first please address the eight chapters that had their credentials reviewed this morning. So hold on, Haley.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any discussion regarding this motion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, Haley raised the issue of sending in the information from Blind Students of California. The problem, Haley, is that we don't have any information in the office. So, unless you would have some material here, something here showing that you sent it in, there's really not much we can do at this point. Things do get lost in the mail, and things disappear into cyberspace, but I'm not sure that there's much we can do at this point.
Mr. Chairman?
Kathy, let's get Kathy. Her voice carries, but we got to be fair, so let's get Kathy a mic.
I can be fair.
I know you can, but let's get you a mic anyway. You got a mic, Kathy?
I don't know. I'm wandering around in cyberspace.
Yeah, you got a mic. Go.
There you are.
I'm out here.
Speak.
I'm out here in cyberspace, and someone's tugging on me. You know, we all get credential forms, and I know email and snail mail, all mails are great mails, but you know, we need to take the time to fill out those forms and send them in.
I know.
I was a no vote for people who don't send them in on time. I think we should have at least heard of an explanation of why they didn't. But in any case, I hope that we will all recognize that when you take on a job, and this is intended at any individual, you need to see to it, if you're the president, that your people with you are doing it. If they're not doing it, then you do what you do when you delegate and doesn't get delegated, you do it. But anyway, I want to urge people to take their responsibilities seriously and send in these forms, not on email. I know everybody loves email, and email comes and goes. But in this case, it goes. So I think we should send the forms in. When we send out a credential form, please do us the courtesy of returning it.
Thank you, Kathy. You know, Haley, all I can say, shh, and that's the thing about this organization, is we are all, even if our chapter cannot vote, each of us as individual members have the right to vote, and it's unfortunate for the students that you represent as a delegate, but we really do need to have had either the forms in or coming this morning to the credentials committee and meeting with Mr. Welty and his committee. All right, Kathy. Yes, ma'am. You're not.
Okay.
There, now you are. Go.
They're trying to turn me off, Mitch. Anyway, I have a question, point of information. What's the difference in the eight people that we voted to seat, the eight chapters, and the students?
Yes. Okay, good question. The eight chapters, apparently, Frank, as I understand it, they came to you this morning with their information?
In the case of some of them, they had sent in their information before the convention. In fact, in a couple cases, they actually faxed it in just the day after the deadline. So they were obviously they were right there. It was a technicality in their cases, and I commend those individuals, and they know who they are for that work on their part. And in the case of several of the others, they were getting their stuff in throughout October. And then there were several stragglers here today. And I must tell you that in the case of these chapters that we are proposing not to see, that there was no representation at this morning's meeting or any time today.
I want to
add that for any chapter that is having difficulty with credentialing, it's not the goal of our committee to exclude people. We want to be supportive of those who want to represent their constituents. But we do have constitutional requirements, and if you want to work with us, please contact us, and we'll do what we can to make it better for you. One of the reasons that we're going to be looking at our procedures is to see if we have any issues that we need to address. So by all means, talk to us if there's a problem.
Mr. Chairman?
Who seeks the floor to my left?
Rhonda King.
Rhonda? Get Rhonda a microphone.
You can have this one. My question still isn't clear to me.
All right, Kat. Let me. The difference is that the office neither received their credentials information nor did they come to the credentials meeting this morning. Is that correct, Frank?
I should stipulate that that's the case, except for three of them, which were Butte County, El Dorado, and Golden Gate did send their information in. However, for whatever reason, they are not represented here this weekend. We have not seen their representatives.
Let's deal with the students. Let's deal with the students first, but that puts those three chapters into a slightly different light. But let's address the student issue first. Rhonda, you got a mic?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I just wanted to state that in the past, we have not accepted them if they had not had their information in and if they did not come to the meeting this morning and if there was no representation during the day. However, what I'm up here to say right now is even if you get your credentials in a mail and you can't get them in or email or whatever, you can call the office and they will fill it out right there. It's just a phone call away. So, you know, they've had all this time, and I know that the credential form goes out 3 to 4 months prior to the convention. So if they can't read it because of their blindness or they don't have somebody there to help them fill it out, call the office. They'll fill it out for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Haley, let's your voice won't carry. Let's get you. You're very soft-spoken.
I try to be really loud, but if I yell really loud, I'll sound like mud on the thing.
Okay. So, go ahead.
I do thank you for your accommodating my question, and I do accept the fact that somehow the credentials did not get there. I had thought, you know, that they had been filled out the office and whatnot, but I do accept the fact that we do need for this meeting to continue. And since I don't want to keep everyone here all night due to this issue, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, now, Frank, you indicated that Butte County, El Dorado, and Golden Gate submit, but there are no delegates.
That's right. They weren't here at the meeting this morning. We were looking out for them today. We have not seen them.
Well, how can we see them if they're not here?
We can't.
But we were.
I wanted to make sure that an official delegate didn't somehow get into the meeting this evening, and I don't hear a call for the floor, so we will let that pass. But I wanted to make sure that we didn't have someone. I'm sorry? Okay. All right. So, Mr. Fort, I think that was. Steve.
Mr. Chairman, after meeting with the Credentials Committee this morning, I was advised that Bayview Chapter does have 61 members, and I made the correction on the index card that I handed back to you this afternoon, handed back to Frank. So if you want to just double-check that, that would be my only comment.
This is correct. I had not realized that you had verified that, so I put it back to 57, actually. However, I'm willing, if you're If it is it the pleasure? No, it would be
no,
one more vote.
There'd be one more. The way it was before, it was 57
would,
members
would
with 11 votes.
Would it be appropriate
votes?
To... for there to be a motion for an amendment to this report that number be changed to 61 members with 12 votes?
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Cool.
Abstentions. All right. Now, we, I believe, are ready. That was
no.
For the Bayview chapter. We voted to accept the credentials from the 8 chapters that submitted late, right after the deadline, or appeared before the committee this morning. So we voted. What we are now prepared to do, I believe, is to accept the report of the credentials committee.
Yes.
Yes. Who seeks the floor? Ms. Bracco, to make a motion.
I would just like to have the...
Whoops, no, you're not on mic.
Well,
there
when
you
they
go.
Turn me on, it works, you know. I would actually like to ask that we have at least in the report what the credentials for those 3 chapters were. I mean, it's understandable that they're not here. We can't have any voting from them. But I think we do need to know what their numbers and membership are, if it's in their credential report.
Mr. Welty, can you do that quickly?
I have them right here, if that's the pleasure of the group.
Go ahead.
Butte County Council of the Blind, President Al Beagler, members 12, votes 5, delegate, none listed. Alternate delegate, none listed. El Dorado chapter, President Terry Holbrook, members 17, votes 5, delegate, none listed. Alternate delegate, none listed. Golden Gate chapter, President Martin Jones, members 22, votes 5, delegate Martin Jones, alternate delegate Martin Jones. And there you have it.
And apparently, and apparently Martin also had a job conflict. So, all right, we are ready, I believe, for a motion to accept the report of the Credentials Committee.
I so move.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Welty. We are in CCB fashion, fashionably behind schedule. I want to bring up for a brief comment. Our outgoing CCB treasurer, Peter Pardini, to talk about the cruise to Ensenada. And I told Peter last night that, you know, in all the years I've been going down to Mexico, I've never been to Pusong's, which is the famous rowdy bar in Ensenada. And so this time we're going to visit Pusong's. Peter?
No.
I hope I'm not too old, but Peter.
Thank you, Mitch. The California Council of the Blind. It's good to have a cruise.
A little louder.
Sorry.
A little closer.
The California Council of the California Council of the Blind is scheduled to have a cruise May 11th through May 14th, 2007. Come join your friends and help support the CCB at the same time. For each cabin booked on the cruise, DeMar Travel and Carnival Cruise Lines will make a donation totaling $90 to the California Council of the Blind. We will depart on Friday from Long Beach and cruise to the wonderful city of Ensenada, Mexico, where we'll have a wonderful day, have a full day to enjoy Mexico. Price is starting at $525 for an inside cabin, $565 for an ocean view cabin. Prices include 3-day cruise, port charges, government fees, and gratuities. An initial deposit of $50 is required, and the final payment is due on or before February 1st, 2007. For your convenience, you're able to make monthly payments. Everyone is welcome. Tell everyone you know about it. We really want to encourage people to attend this cruise. We'd like to see all your family and friends on the cruise. For reservations and additional information, You can call Dave Kronk with DeMar Travel at 800-999-6101. And also, I have if you can find me during the convention, I'll be more than happy to take your reservation and forward your initial deposit to Dave Kronk. No, he's not here. He was unable to attend. If you're interested in having three or four people in your cabin, for an inside cabin, the additional fee will be $317 for an inside cabin and $327 for an outside cabin. That's additional per person charge.
Shh. Hold on. We have a couple of questions. Go ahead, Peter.
Basically, we'd like to have DCB's reserve 25 cabins, and currently we have, I think, about four or five cabins sold.
Ooh.
So I really want to encourage people to sign up for it.
Okay.
This would be a wonderful opportunity for CCB to make some additional funding.
All right, Dominic, I'll repeat it. Quick.
I would like to find out, are you saying that if two of us go, one would pay 500 and something, the other would pay 300?
No. No. Peter, it's 500 and shave per person, correct?
Per person, for persons number one and two, because all cabins are double occupancy. If you have a third or fourth person, for an inside cabin, that would be additional $317
for each of them.
Yeah.
It's over $1,000 for two people.
That's correct.
Right.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Basically, on a cruise, the only thing you need to pay for is your booze.
Yes.
And your soda.
And that's pretty inexpensive.
You know, that's really inexpensive because they have wonderful food, great entertainment.
You
can eat 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, Don and I have done two cruises, and we love it, and it's wonderful, and I really encourage everybody to get on board. All right. Thank you, Peter. We've got a lot of friends in this organization, and we claim among them HumanWare. Heck, HumanWare's employed a lot of our members over the years. So we are privileged tonight to have the CEO from HumanWare to come and provide us an update on his excellent company. So I will now bring on for an update on HumanWare, Mr. Richard Mander.
Thank you for that warm welcome. I'm very pleased to be here. I just arrived. Sure. Yeah, thank you for that nice introduction. It's very nice to be here. I pretty much got over my jet lag from arriving the other night, all the way from New Zealand. It's a 12-hour flight. But I really wanted to thank you for inviting me and giving me some of this very nice Friday evening to spend with you. I'll just try to take only 30 minutes to give you a little update on what we're doing. First of all, I wanted to give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in New Zealand and initially started out my life as an elementary teacher. And I got very interested in how children learn and wanted to be a psychologist. So I did my master's degree in New Zealand in psychology. And then I was lucky enough to come to California to go to Stanford University and do my PhD. So that was a great experience. And in the course of being at Stanford, I ended up getting an internship at Apple Computer. And then spent 7 years working there, and ultimately, after 10 years, finally finished my PhD, got married, had four children, and after 17 years, I finally returned back to New Zealand 2 years ago. So I spent a lot of time in America, and very much enjoyed it, became an American citizen, and so I'm now in a strange spot because I'm American and in New Zealand. I live in New Zealand, and it's an interesting life. So I started 6 months ago as CEO at HumanWare, and it's really a dream come true for me to be working for a company that makes such great products for a very interesting group of people, people who are blind, people with low vision, and we have some other areas we're looking at in the future. When I started at HumanWare, I walked into the staff room in New Zealand, and Tim Robinson, who's our chairman, said to me, "I hope you've got a message to give people." And I said, "Well, I have." And I walked in and I said that there are three things that matter. Being customer-focused, being predictable, and caring about quality. And sadly, I learnt that although I think HumanWare is a great company, that these are things that we needed to get a lot better at. So I've been focusing my time in these 6 months on working on these things. I had the good fortune, actually, after 2 weeks of starting, to come to the CSUN conference across the road, which was a great experience, and to see all of the products in our industry and meet a lot of people and be immersed among a lot of our customers. And unfortunately, I started hearing about some problems with some of our products. And on returning to New Zealand, I started to have daily meetings with the team who make the Braille Note, so they would all have to sit down with me for an hour every day as we worked through what was going wrong. And it turned out that we were experiencing some problems with how the Braille Note manages its power and how it recharges its batteries. We had another thing that happened at this time, which was sadly Dean Jackson, who was our customer support representative, died in New Zealand. He was a blind, young blind guy who was doing a fabulous job helping people. And so we found ourselves with, I think some of you knew Dean. It was very sad to lose him. We found ourselves in a very tough spot with problems with some people missing on our team and the need to really work hard to solve these issues. Around this time, we also got a letter from Jeff Tom, which was a resolution from CCB commenting about the poor state of quality and customer service in the industry. And then we got a letter from Tony Kandoa at the Department of Rehabilitation supporting that. And I remember showing some of the engineers the letter from the Department of Rehab and pointing out that at the top it had Arnold Schwarzenegger's name. And they said, "Isn't he the guy from those Terminator movies?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, he is. And if I have to go into his office to talk to him about this stuff, you're going to be coming with me." So I had their attention. So the resolution, actually, I was very pleased to get it. I tend to be very optimistic in life and look at, a glass of half full as being half full rather than half empty. And so to me, getting the resolution was great because I said, "Look, this is good. What these people are telling us is that they care about quality and that the industry's not good at it. So what we're going to do is we're going to get really good at it. And that will become an advantage for us. So let's get on with it." So one of the first things I did was to appoint someone as a quality manager. So Adam Palm, who was already in the company, was promoted to take care of quality. And he immediately helped me a lot with addressing the issues with the Braille Note. I also felt that we really weren't focused enough in the company on how we developed products and how we brought them to market. And so I changed the structure of the company. And instead of having just this is maybe a little bit too much detail, but instead of having a kind of group of engineers and then separately a marketing group, I said, let's not do that. Let's have a dedicated team of engineers and marketing people who all work together in one big room who work on the blindness products. And let's have another group of people who work on the low vision products. And that way, it's kind of a crass comment, but there'll be one neck to grab, one person who's responsible for the entire thing. And I brought a guy into the company who I'd worked with for many years named Dirk Marias, who's now in charge of all of the blindness products. And Dirk is a guy who cares a lot about quality and is working very hard to get this team working together on the products. In the course of this restructuring, we lost three people who were very senior people who I felt needed to move on, and we set up a new organization, and we now have a new vice president of sales and a new vice president of marketing and customer experience and a new vice president of advocacy. This is a role filled by Jim Halliday, I think some of you know. And Jim, as the VP of Advocacy, is going to be totally dedicated to listening to groups like CCB and working with them to make sure that our customers are represented and that we work very closely to understand your needs. So we have Jim devoted to that, and I think he'll do a fabulous job. There were, in the resolutions that we received, there were several major issues. The first one was that it was believed there was a lowering of product standards and reliability. And this is something that I felt was something HumanWare and other companies could get a lot better at. So placing Jim in this role helped, but also we have to recognize that the problems, when you get problems with products. It's not just about the service and support, it's also just about how they're designed and built. So the new structure I think we've put in place will really help with that, and our engineers understand that it's very important to me that quality is high. So in addition to improving how we're designing products, we're also now, we work with an external organization who actually look at the designs of new products we're bringing to market and actually verify or audit all of the design work. We have a new dedicated team of people who are called verification engineers, and a couple of these are actual BrailleNote users who spend a lot of time trying to break the products. So they have kind of a fun job. They take the product and they install the latest software on it, and then they spend hours and hours trying to get it to fail. And when it fails, we work out, you know, what went wrong, and then we fix that. And one of the things we're going to be doing is a lot more of that before products are released. So rather than finishing the design of a product and then starting to manufacture it and sell it, there's going to be a period of some months, three months even, where some of you, I hope, will volunteer to take the products and use them for a while to test them for us. And when we're sure they're right, then we'll make them available to many more people. The second big issue was a decreasing quality of technical support. So technical support, this is where if you are having trouble with your product, you phone up and someone helps you on the telephone. And we've all experienced this with various products. And it can either be a really good experience or not a very good experience. And I think that was something we really needed to improve. So in the United States, we had two people who were technical support people. And these are people who typically they are blind users of the BrailleNote. They work from home. And we only had two of them. So we now have four. We've doubled the number. And we replaced the person who was managing them with someone who's actually a user of the product. And we have two extra contractors who can step in when needed. So we've, in effect, tripled the size of the team of people who are answering the phone and helping people with problems. Not surprisingly, our phone system broke. It turns out it was kind of a junky system. So we upgraded that, and we have a new system which allows us to do a lot more clever things with the telephone, how we route calls, that sort of thing, and also to actually monitor what goes on the calls. So now we know how long people have to wait when they call, how long the calls take, how many calls get dropped, which means when someone doesn't hold on long enough, and we can really track those things and improve them. We also record all the calls so that we can use those for training, and that's a really great mechanism. So the result is that we now have our calls answered faster. We're a lot better at making sure the problem is solved, and our people are getting better trained. We also have weekly calls now where people call back to our engineers in New Zealand and talk about any issues, and we make sure that we're on top of them back with the engineering team. The third area is it was felt that there was a decrease in customer service. So this is where technical support is where you call up and someone helps you with a technical problem. Customer service is where you call up and you just need help, like you want to buy something extra or you want to know where your product is if it's being repaired. And we had only two people who were actually doing repairs, and we now have four. So that's not really because we have more repairs to do. It was because we wanted to be able to turn them around faster. And we also have, it turns out, it's just kind of silly when you think about it, but when the products would arrive in our service area, we had a piece of paper that somebody filled in that said what was wrong with the product, and they checked it out. And it turns, some of the people who are actually having to interact with these products are blind, so of course they couldn't see what's on the paper. So we've now, which you'd think we'd know better than that, but we now have a electronic system where the products are checked out. There's 22 points we look at on the product to make sure there isn't anything else wrong with it. And we're able to, anybody in the building, including all of our blind people, are able to access that and know where the product is and what's happening with it. So the result is we can turn things around a lot faster and get them back to people. One thing that would really help us is that when people send in products, and we need to look at them and figure out what's wrong and then give an estimate for what it's going to cost to repair it if it's broken, if it isn't our fault. And quite often it's hard to track people down to get them to give us the approval to do the work. And what would be very helpful is if more people would sign up for the service contracts, and what that means is that we can then just fix it and make it good. The other side of customer support is the customer service reps, and these are the people who actually answer the phone. We've got more of those as well. And now when people call up, we used to have about, believe it or not, half of the calls we got would get dropped. People would end up hanging up. And now it's only 1%, so there's a huge improvement there. So what I've tried to convey here is some of the things we've been doing, basically adding a lot more people to our staff and making sure we've got the systems in place to support people who are having issues. Also, we're working very hard to make sure our products are well designed and carefully engineered and tested. So I think that you're going to see a big improvement in the quality and service of our products. The other thing we're very interested in is, as I said earlier, understanding our end users. And this is something that I learned at Apple Computer. It's a very critical part of designing good products. So we're going to start a series of town hall meetings, which we'll be inviting you to, and Jim will be leading these, where we probably they'll start in the new year. It was actually an idea that Jeff gave us. And we'll be holding these meetings where people can come in. We'll probably provide lunch or something to make it a little more worth coming to. And we'll listen to people and share with them any tips for how to use the products and also find out what you want the products to be like. So I think they're going to learn a lot from that. I'm very excited to be at HumanWare and to have the chance to come here. I actually thought I didn't really prepare a talk tonight because I thought I was going to be in a panel taking questions. So I wanted to make sure I allow time to listen to your questions and answer them. So if anyone has a question, I'd be pleased to take that.
Come forward to a mic, please.
Mr. Chair.
Jeff?
Want to make a brief comment before allowing all of you to ask your questions. Excuse me. I just want to commend Mr. Mander and everyone at HumanWare for really not just giving us lip service over the past few months, but really, you know, making some promises and really working to implement those promises. They deserve a real round of applause for all that they have done.
Yeah.
We will take questions for a few minutes, but please get to a microphone and ask to be recognized by giving your name, please.
My name is Dan Kaiser. I'm Governmental Affairs Director for the California Council of the Blind. I was a PK user. I'm currently an Empower user. And probably by some HumanWare staff, I'm an obnoxious user. But I only am that way because I love the product and I like the operating system. But don't you feel that you and the other assistive technology companies owe the blind public a real explanation about the limitations of a PDA versus a PC? I think the advertisement sort of leads people on to think that they're going to get a full-blown desktop PC capability, whereas the limitations of all PDAs are flash memory based. And we all know what happens with flash memory. So that's my first question. My second question is, are you going to be taking on third-party vendors with non-disclosure agreements to help promote, to write products that aren't available, such as cash management programs, radical concept, the programs that we as human beings need to use on a day-to-day basis that aren't in existence now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan. All right, Mr. Mander?
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Please keep those cards and letters coming. I'd like to get your feedback, good and bad. So the limitations of PDAs, I think, if I understand your question, one of the issues with PDAs, Windows CE in particular, which is the operating system, has been that if the device loses power, you can lose memory.
Okay.
That's been changed in Windows Mobile, which is the new update to that operating system. And in the future, it's likely we'll be moving towards that. But I think a bigger answer to your question is that it's really unacceptable for people to be losing data. And it's something I've always believed. And in the future versions of our devices, I'd like us to move to what's called a different architecture where we can really try to prevent that ever happening. I think it's very frustrating to lose data, and I'd like to make it, as I said earlier, look at that as a problem to solve and that we can turn into an advantage where if you're using one of our devices, you will not lose data. So that's the real answer to that. I need more time to talk to you about PDAs versus PCs, and I'd love to do that another time. Third parties. One of the things I learnt in my career is that you can't do everything yourself. And so while we're very good at some things, we can't be good at everything. And there's lots of opportunity, I think, for other people to help us and develop software for our products or other kinds of hardware that might plug into them and work with them. And that's something that I definitely believe in, and we will be doing that in the future. So if you know of people who are interested in doing that, please put them in touch with me.
All right, thank you. Who's next?
Hello, Doug Martin, San Diego.
Doug?
Yes, I just wanted to ask, what is the development status or where in the development cycle is a software development kit for the Braille Note that would give us some hooks into Keysoft? I like writing software, but I can't access the proprietary parts of the KeySoft interface.
Yes, so that relates to what we were just talking about, Doug. You're correct. To other people, what's needed is what's called a software development kit, an SDK, and this is the software that other software engineers can use in order to write software for our product. And this is something that I can't really announce a date for that, but I've had many arguments at HumanWare about this, and I think I've managed to correct people and help them understand that this is a thing we need to do. So we'll be working towards making an announcement about that in the future. But maybe I could talk to you later about more specifically about it.
Great, and we have one more person.
Lucy Greco.
Lucy. Yeah.
First thing I want to do is actually thank you, Richard, immensely. To me, I've been part of the mainstream and the accessibility technology field for many, many, many years, and it took a lot of guts for you to come here and speak to us. And, you know, as we were writing that resolution at 2 o'clock in the morning last April on a Friday night, I thought, why are we bothering? So you've renewed my hope in industry. I have to say that first. If I was ever... And yes, that comes from your resolution chair who didn't want to write the resolution. But thank you again. I mean, just it's wonderful to see that you're coming out. You've come up with these ideas. But the one question I want to know is, you being so new to the accessibility market and the accessibility background, you know, I mean, from what I'm hearing, you're really from the mainstream. What have you learned from this experience, and how are you going to take what you've done here? Because what I'm hearing is you've made these improvements here in the office here. How is this going to affect the rest of the disabled world, such as Europe? You're taking the product changes to them, of course. But, you know, these staffing changes, for example, you've talked about are here. But, you know, are we still going to see, you know, a firefighting attitude, or are you thinking about this now as an ahead future venture?
Okay. Thanks, Lucy. I think I very much appreciate the fact that you did send us that resolution, and I would encourage you to do that again if you ever feel the need to. I think organizations like yours are a very important part of how society works, and I think it's a very powerful to have you give us these messages. So to answer your question, though, about the how these changes might be affecting other parts of the world, the comments I made about numbers of people in support and service were about people in the US. I think in the US we were understaffed in those areas. In the United Kingdom, we have a better number of people in place, more appropriate for, it's a smaller market, but we do have a good team there, and we have added to it there as well. In Canada, we've increased our people too. And the bigger changes I was talking about, those are actually global changes. The new vice presidents and such, those are people in the global HumanWare organization, not just within the US. So those changes have an impact everywhere.
Thank you. And Mr. Mander, I think I was at that resolutions committee meeting, and there was an awful lot of discussion about whether the resolution would bear fruit. It clearly has. We thank you very much. Richard Mander of HumanWare. We are now at a point where we are going to hear a report from the CCB President Jeff Tom regarding activities since the spring convention and anything else that Jeff wishes to talk about. So we'll bring on President Jeff Tom.
Thank you. You know, I have this, before I start, I have this braille message that popped up over here from Oski the Golden Bear. And I didn't realize that bears wrote in braille, but I guess I do. And it says here he understands that there'll be a big football game between his school and the men of Troy in a few weeks. And he wishes to tell our first vice president that he feels that, especially since he won't be at the auction tomorrow, that he ought to make a pledge, and that if the men of Troy are beaten by the mighty bears of the University of California, that he ought to hand over some big money to the CCB. That's his message I read. That's not me. I wouldn't.
I have to live with a Bruin fan. Trojans, we eat bears for dinner. All right, Jeff. And when is Stanford going to win a football game, by the way?
Not this year.
Not this year. They might as well have that play. Anyway, you know, yeah, are you enjoying the convention agenda out there, everybody? Great, great. I am too. I'm sorry Gene Lozano, our convention chair, who worked so hard with this committee, couldn't be here this week. We're already brainstorming for next April at the Arden West Hilton. Please give us your input as to convention ideas. I already, you know, I funnel ideas through various sources. Frank Welty's given me a number through some of the articles he keeps sending to the CCBL list. So we want your ideas because, you know, you really are the driving force behind these conventions. We want them to be what you want to be able to listen to. So let us know. I'll pass on that one. The 12th through the 15th, I believe.
April.
Of April. Of April, yes. When I think of CCB, I often think of my grandfather. He died when I was only four, but he was a professional chef. During his younger days, he worked throughout the world, all over the western United States, and in fact, throughout the Pacific Rim, the Philippines, China, a number of other countries. And he, in some of the letters that I was fortunate enough to read when I was older, he indicated that he had a preference for limiting the number of menu selections and requiring that those items be of absolute top-notch in quality, as compared to the type of restaurant maybe where the menu is a far greater, but the quality is less. And the reason I often think about that is we're faced in CCB with a very difficult situation. We have so many problems to tackle. We like to pump, you know, all these resources into one problem, but of course we can't turn away any of the other problems that we face and that our community faces. And it's, and one of the things that makes me proudest of this organization is that even though we never seem to have sufficient resources to do the job we might want to, we always work to do the best that we can. So what have we done during the past 4 years as of when I've been fortunate enough to be president of a... Well, you know, I have to, one little aside before I go on. I have to tell you, my grandfather apparently had a solution, a unique solution to the problem. When he got tired of a particular job, he'd tell his employer he was very sick, when in reality he'd just go out and get drunk for a while. And because he was such an excellent chef, they'd give him a good letter of recommendation, and he'd immediately find another job. But I haven't quite figured a way to apply that solution to the CCB.
I'll look at that later.
So, yeah, that's for next week. So where have we been in the last 4 years? From my perspective, the glass will always be half empty. However, that statement carries with it the implication that the glass is indeed half full. And it is half full only because of the outstanding work of each and every one of you. Membership is certainly one of those areas where the news is not all good, but not all bad. During 2003 and 2004, membership rose dramatically, somewhere between 5 and 10% each year. However, 2005 saw a decrease of about 1%, and this year we'll probably end up perhaps recouping that decrease. Membership retention and recruitment are indeed largely local matters and often impacted by one-on-one interactions. I've mentioned on more than one occasion that we need to continue finding ways of recruiting and retaining persons 30 years and under, and I want us to continue working on those endeavors. Since we're talking about younger individuals, let me digress for a minute from membership to discuss two other initiatives that I really hope we can undertake during the years to come. A mentoring program matching our members with youth 12 years and older is something which is sorely needed in the blind and visually impaired community. Earlier this year, we unsuccessfully tried to obtain a grant to start such a program. This program would take a lot of work, but I hope that we can get this effort off the ground in the future. Also, Margie Donovan is heading a subcommittee of the convention committee that is going to examine how we might incorporate a youth component into our convention. If we are fortunate enough to implement these initiatives, we will certainly be calling upon many of you to help ensure their success. However, the largest segment of our population, by far, is blind and visually impaired seniors. I would like to propose that CCB, through the use of both state and local chapter resources and strategies, design a membership recruitment program specifically targeted at this population. which under the broad definition used by AARP would refer to people 50 years of age and over. Our failing sight and the family plight brochure has been an excellent tool to begin that process. But such an effort will not be easy, and it may well take years to bear fruit. But if this organization is to flourish and continue to have the kind of clout we need to bring about change in the lives of blind and low vision persons, the effort must succeed. Without going into detail at this time, I believe that such an effort must include determining best practices at the local chapter level and by work with various CCB committees, as well as cooperative state and local efforts. I think these committees would certainly include seniors with vision loss, public relations, and membership. By targeting this specific group, we can use the type of multifaceted approach that can bring as many resources to bear as possible on the problem. It is my hope that after we succeed in this endeavor, we can begin to apply the lessons we learn so as to accomplish similar results with other segments of our populations, such as students and persons with multiple disabilities. Fundraising, again, half full and half empty. We are in good physical health right now, thanks in large part to the surplus revenues that were generated in the past by the vehicle donation program. Although the worst appears to be over, the days of large vehicle donation amounts appear to be gone. I think we can expect gradual increases from this funding source, but never the days when it paid for almost two-thirds of our budget. Temporarily, at least, the stock market has taken up some of the slack, but it won't always be providing the nice returns it has this year. However, we are learning about a number of areas and learning lessons about other ways in which we can diversify. With the drive and acumen of people like our fundraising chair, Rhonda King, and others, we will diversify and we will remain physically strong. Finally, let's talk about what we've done and where we need to go with respect to the work that makes it all worthwhile, our services for our fellow blind and vision impaired persons. Sometimes the victories can be very sweet, as with the work of Margie Donovan and others to keep the Zepedas with their newborn child. Sometimes you win far less than you would have hoped, as with Gabe Vega, who went from having virtually no rights to at least having vaguely defined rights of visitation with his little five-year-old girl. Sometimes you just have to keep pushing, as is true with the work going on at the local level throughout the state concerning the installation of accessible pedestrian signals, as we heard about today. CCV can be very proud that it was one of the plaintiffs on a suit settled out of court with the State Department of Parks and Recreation for access to parks by persons with disabilities. Someday, in the not-too-distant future, you may be visiting a state park watching a video that has audio description, and you'll know that it was your organization that brought this about. As we did with Bank of America and other financial institutions, as we heard earlier today from Linda Dardarian, we continue to negotiate with various pharmacy chains, not only to have their point-of-sale machines accessible, but their websites as well. Now we are continuing, with the help of people like Barbara Rhodes and others, to work on talking prescription bottles, something which, to me, has a limitless potential for seniors, for low-vision people of all ages. I think that talking prescription bottles in the years to come is going to be something that perhaps everyone will enjoy having. We can take pride in our coalition efforts. We are in litigation against the California Department of Transportation, along with other disability groups, including Californians for Disability Rights, on issues of disability access, including some concerns specifically to blind and visually impaired persons. Voting issues are another prime example. We work with a variety of groups, including Protection Advocacy and the California Foundation of Independent Living Centers. Voting issues are very complex, and we could spend the rest of the evening discussing them, but the key point for this discussion is that we make it abundantly clear when we are working with other disability organizations that we, as people who are blind or have low vision, know what we need more than anyone else. The issue of disaster preparedness is similar in this respect. Give yourselves a hand for sponsoring and passing SB 1451 that will ensure that state committees on disaster preparedness have sufficient disability representation. This bill is just one more illustration to the disability community of two very important points. First, that we intend to improve the lives of all persons with disabilities. And second, that in the blindness arena, we are the ones that know what we need. We have already begun to make it very clear to affected state agencies and disability rights organizations that organizations of the blind and not cross-disability groups know best what our needs are in this most important area. As many of you already have, you will need to echo this mantra at the local level as local disaster preparedness plans continue to be put into place. You know, occasionally I'm asked, why does CCB have a full-time governmental affairs director? You know, why can't we just, employ Dan for a couple hours a week? Well, my answer to that is in one sentence. Healthcare, IHSS, social services, SSI, pedestrian safety, education, employment programs, library services, the California Telecommunications Assistance Program. I'll stop there, but I could go on and on. You get the point. There are so many issues. There are so many issues. And let's give a hand to Dan for all the work that he does. Let's also give a hand for our other staff members. How many times do we, well, at least I know I do, call in, and I know many of you do too, because I hear about it, and we have so many things that we need, so much information that we require, so many things that need to be done from Ed Branch and from Marilyn.
Yeah.
That, how many times do we do that? You all know about it. Want to say that we are going to be missing Marilyn for about a month or so. She's going to be having some surgery, and we want to wish her the best because we will miss her during the month of December. So she's almost irreplaceable, but we'll see what we can do. Let me go through some areas a few other areas that we have worked in the last year or two. We've worked with the State Department of Developmental Disabilities and with regional centers to teach them about the fact that O&M services provided by certified instructors are really what our population with developmental disability needs, not just travel training. We work with the department, we're just beginning to work with the California Department of Veterans Affairs on the needs of blind and visually impaired veterans residing in the state veterans homes. Thank you. And on an individual level, just as one example, we have worked to assist those trying to find resources for a nonviolent offender who was recently a nonviolent female offender, recently released from a penal institution so that she could have the types of services she needs in order to turn her life around, as she has already begun to do. In accordance with a resolution passed last spring, we are communicating with we have already received communications from a couple of manufacturers of glucometers who say that they are committed and deeply committed to providing accessible glucometers for blind and vision impaired individuals. I will keep you informed as to whether the promises that they have made to us produce the type of results which we also fervently desire. So what's up for next year? Other than some of the ongoing struggles and some of the things that I've already mentioned, such as talking prescription bottles. Well, a couple of battles we've yet to win. Now, last year, as you know, we had SB 1801, and we intend to reintroduce that bill. That bill would have required that 20% of the board of directors of agencies that seek state money and that serve primarily blind clients be composed of individuals who are blind or visually impaired. I'm sorry, SB 1114. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you very much. If the Junior Blind of America thinks we're going away with our tails between our legs, they can think again. We will bring this bill back, whatever the number was, and we will win. Second, our work to obtain coverage for reader service as part of IHSS benefits. We've been fighting this battle for a long time, and I honestly don't know how long we will have to fight it, but we do have some allies in the legislature. It isn't an easy sale. This year, the governor vetoed a number of bills which probably have even smaller price tags than that one might, but it's such an important and a central benefit for our population that we can't afford to just let that battle go. Quiet cars. Now, there is an issue that CCB was actually at the forefront of at the beginning, many, many years ago, And as we've been sort of not doing enough, the issue has really come to the forefront again, and it's about time that we get back into the fray. Quiet cars are going to become not just an occasional happenstance on the road, but they're going to be the rule rather than the exception in the years to come. And we need now, not only at the national level, but at the state level as well, to come up with a strategy to see what we can do to make sure that our streets will be safe for blind, vision impaired, and other pedestrians. I want to applaud NFB for having the national panel that they have held in Baltimore on this issue. And I know that ACB is having representatives at that panel. But a lot of what is going to have to happen is going to have to be at the state level on this issue, because many of the regulations, for example, of vehicles are done on a state-by-state basis. We don't exactly know what our strategy is going to be yet. We're going to have to take some time and give it some real thought. But as we develop that strategy, I will certainly let you know, I suspect it will take a real strident effort on all of your parts on this issue. Another, we have continuing issues on the vendor program. We need to make sure and continue to be vigilant that our BEP vendors have the best chance of making an excellent wage, and that the program expands in the years to come. So, are you going to be able to come back to the next convention and just give a cheer for Dan Kaiser and Margie Donovan and Mitch Pomerantz and all these people, all these advocates that are in the organization? The answer is no. The answer is no, you will not. Not unless each and every one of you answer the call to get to work. Because without you, none of the rest of the folks in this organization can accomplish anything. Are you ready for the challenge? Then let's get to work. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Jeff. And I just want to say, many of you know, we've had some interesting times on the ACB board the last couple, 3 years. Things have been contentious on occasion, say the least. And I was very, very pleased that in July, the American Council of the Blind elected Jeff Tom to join me on the ACB board of directors, because what we need on the national board are folks who are rational, logical, objective, and are able to address the issues and not deal in personalities. And thankfully, Jeff is one of those folks, and I'm very pleased that Jeff is on our board of
directors.
Thank you. Speaking of the ACB board, we are now going to hear from our national representative, even though, let's see, there are four of us at this convention who are on the ACB board, but we have an official representative. And I got to tell you about Pat Sheehan. Pat and I don't always vote on the same side of an issue, but I think the thing we've come to recognize over the past 3 or 4 years is that we can agree to disagree appropriately without taking things personally, without vitriol, and without rancor. And that's very important for a board of directors, because we are going to have disagreements over policy and procedure and strategy and tactics. So Jeff, a while ago, said, well, who do you think from the ACB board we haven't had? Should we have come to our convention? I said, well, I think Pat Sheehan ought to be invited, because I think Pat's a pretty good guy. And I think he demonstrated today that with his work in Maryland and on the national level with accessible pedestrian signals, he's a worthy representative for the American Council of the Blind at this convention. So for a report on ACB and anything else that he would like to talk about, let me bring on Patrick Sheehan, president of ACB of Maryland and member of ACB board.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I would have I phrased what Mitch said a little bit differently. When we spoke, I guess it was 6 months ago at a meeting, even though Mitch might have a bonehead idea and express it at a board meeting, he's still the kind of person and friend that I'd like to go out and have a beer with afterwards. I would agree with Mitch that I think that the board of directors that we have now is a good working group. What I like about the board is that they're issue-based. You've got a lot of smart people there that really believe in the organization. And I think you'll get a free exchange of ideas, and I think that's great. So as far as the board is concerned, I think that we're in very good shape with the personnel. And I think that the people, particularly that the new people that were elected this year, bring an awful lot to that board, and I'm very pleased that they're on it. And I'm looking forward to working with them. I want to start, and I think this is one of the most important things that I need to say, is to say thank you to California for inviting me here this weekend. I consider being here, interacting with you, and listening to your issues and ideas an honor and a privilege. And I think one of the most important things that I can do is to listen. I believe that I am here to serve you and to bring your ideas forward as best I can and try to get results for you that serve your needs. I know that I talked to Jeff off and on, and I know that when I talk to him and also when I read emails, and boy, do we get a ton of emails on the leadership list, that when I come to an email from the California Council, when California is reflected in one of the emails, it kind of makes me stop and look at it, because I consider the product, the thinking, the services that come out of California top-notch, a gold standard, and something that we should really take notice of and follow. You guys do terrific work. Absolutely terrific. And just listening to the accomplishments and what Jeff has to say and the projects that you're working on is just fabulous. And then, you know, I think of what we're doing in Maryland. I think of perhaps myself when I got started in this organization. And it's sometimes intimidating when you're faced with things like what to do about rehab, what to do about IDEA, or IDEA, as we would say it in Massachusetts, I guess. I guess I'm getting tired. But there are many, many challenges, transportation, that come up. And I always think to myself, how can I get involved? Should I get involved? Am I good enough to step up there with other people and get involved? And I guess it's been a gradual thing. I think the hardest part is taking that first step, getting yourself involved, and little by little getting acclimated to the work. And I think back to when I got started in ACB, and I was surprised to remember that I think it was 1999. In LA, there was a convention, 98-99. There was a movie theater I went to in Sherman Oaks, and there was a movie playing. I think it was called Big Daddy or something like that. Anyway, it had video description. And I came out of that movie. It wasn't a great movie, but it had video description. It was the first one, I think, that I'd seen. And I just thought that was the most thrilling thing, to go to the movies and enjoy it along with everybody else. I mean, that was just cool. It's not as big as some of the other things we've done, but it was great. And I said, we're bringing that back to Maryland. I like this idea. We found out the name of the theater was the Edwards Theater. I hate to write, so I bribed Penny Reeder to help me write letters to get, because I understand they were coming back to Maryland. And so we got a group together, and we pursued Edwards Theater. They were coming to Maryland, and we thought it would be great to have them in the downtown Silver Spring area. Well, 6 months later, Edwards Theaters went bankrupt. Yep. So, yeah. At least they never came to Maryland.
No, they.
Anyway, so but we were unperturbed. We decided we found a second movie chain that was coming from Florida called Consolidated Theaters, and we pursued them, and they were happy, and they were coming, and video description was great. They went bankrupt. So here we are. Jeez. With the third group of theaters that wanted to come, and I wasn't sure if we wanted to pursue them. We were like the kiss of death. But as it turned out, they did come, and we do have not just one theater in Silver Spring. Well, the one theater I go to has four accessible theaters in it out of 20, which is great. But we have between the Silver Spring area, four or five theaters, another five or six theaters in D.C., and another four or five or six theaters in Virginia that have that accessibility built in. A lot of that accessibility happens to be because the AMC and Lowe's Theater are required by a lawsuit with the deaf and hearing impaired to put in the rear window captioning. But it was great that we could combine our needs for video description with their system, and so it's really meant a lot. When I came out of a theater, and there was a woman there who had a deaf, her daughter was deaf, and she said she's never been able to go to the movies with her deaf daughter until today, and I guess she was 8 or 9. It really made me choke up. It was great. The theater manager said he didn't realize how many disabled people really wanted to go to the movies and enjoy them. So all that started because I came to California, and I went to Sherman Oaks Theater, and I said, we need to have this. That's the effect that an organization can have, one or two people can have, it on a community. You just never know where it's going to be. I think it was San Francisco when we started talking about transportation. And we were talking about truncated domes. We were talking about all that kind of stuff. Pat Beattie turned to me and she said, you know, I was thinking transportation might be kind of fun. Maybe I should get involved. So now I've been chairing a transportation disability committee for the past 15 years. Last week in Washington, D.C., about 3 weeks ago, we've been putting truncated domes in the stations pretty much for a while in new and renovated stations, but now they're coming to us and saying that they would like to increase the use of the truncated domes in the stations because they think it's good, it's safe. They understand that it'll cost a little extra money, but they think they can put maybe two or three stations with these domes in there, make them more accessible, because they've worked with people in Maryland. They've looked and worked with us, and they understand that the need is there. And I think one of the things that this shows me is that getting involved, and as you have realized, sitting at the table for the meetings month after month, or whether it takes years, just keeping and pursuing and working with the individuals is a critical thing. When Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, WMATA, wants transportation information, they don't go to the NFB. They come to ACB. Because they realize that we have done our homework, we know what the safety issues are, we are a reasonable group, and we will work with them to make the subway a safer place. And so I think that's an important issue that we need to keep in mind. I know that there are other issues that we've been working on. I think I've probably said enough about accessible pedestrian signals. We have 1,250 intersections which will be getting accessible pedestrian signals. Not only do we, throughout the entire state of Maryland, and anybody who wants information or can share information with me on what you're doing, I'm happy to share that information. That work was done because people like Charlie Crawford gave us the vision to put that forward. Al Pietrolungo did all the dogged work in Maryland to track the emails and the promises and the broken promises, and got the agreement from the Federal Highway Administration to get this done. And it was great. And we're going to move it forward, and we're going to get it done. But the other thing that's important here is that the State Highway Administration is going out and talking to other State Highway Administration people, and they're saying to them, you need to put in these APSs. People that were our biggest detractors 4 years ago are now on our side saying, we need to get this done. And I think that's great. But not only that, within the state of Maryland, the State Highway Administration is going forward to put together an inventory of every county, 23 counties in the state of Maryland, to talk about renovating the sidewalks, taking away the poles in the middle of the sidewalks, moving things like mailboxes and newspaper racks, so that we can get access to the pedestrian way. Those checklists that they put together are all standardized. Anybody wants a copy of those for California, I can see if we can get them. But this is all new for us, to be on these task force to be included with the top people at State Highway Administration to improve the neighborhoods. When we lately, when they've talked about pedestrian safety, putting in APSs, we have seen in several of the meetings that you've had 50 or 60 or 75 people show up, not just blind people, but everybody who's interested in pedestrian safety, and I think that's great. And the last thing that's kind of interesting about the pedestrian safety issue is that I had the president of Polara came to Maryland on Monday, had a chance to meet him and to thank him for all the work that he's doing in the state of Maryland. We demonstrated an APS to a bicycle and pedestrian gubernatorial task force that I'm on. There are 18 bicycle people. There's one person, blind me, and we're talking about APSs, and I'm getting all these bicycle people at the end of the meeting coming over and shaking my hand because they're interested in accessible pedestrian signals. That's pretty good from a bunch of bicyclists. So it helps to be chairing their legislative and governmental affairs, so I can help to put the agenda together. But we're making progress, and I think that's great. Once again, in my job as Section 508 coordinator for Department of Veterans Affairs, I find myself being influenced by people within the state of California. Because of vocal members in the state of California who work for the VA, we are making real progress as far as 508 issues. I appreciate the fact that they might make my life interesting, that they are showing real initiative, moving the ball forward. I got a call from Day Muhammad the other day. She was writing a letter on behalf of software that does not work well within the Department of Veterans Affairs. And she said to me, she was writing it to one of our sub-offices called Office of Resolution Management, and she said, should it go there? I said, you know, even though I'll probably get in trouble for this, I think you should send it to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. You need to send it to the top person because that's where it needs to be. You need to show them that ACB is supporting one of its members, even though it'll make my life a little bit more interesting. And you need to show that this needs to stop, that inaccessible software cannot be delivered to the federal government. And it needs to stop right now. We've had situations where we've had telephone systems. One day on a Friday, you walk in, you can use your phone. The next day, you come back to work on Monday, you have a new telephone system. You can't use it because it's full of blinking lights and LCD screens. We've been able to find, because of the work of people in California, companies that have gone out and put software together that will work with the Siemens telephone system. We're now getting them to work with NEC, Cisco, Mitel, Nortel. And this is all done because you've got some members in California that speak up and say, enough is enough. I have rights. I want equal access. And that's a good thing. And I appreciate that. A couple of the things that we're working on in the state of Maryland. Have some interesting news. I don't know how it'll go over in this state, but voting is a very interesting situation. Diebold in Maryland is an interesting word. Now, I happen to personally like the machines, and I'm not sure if they're going to survive. But before I left here, I checked the polls to see how our Republican Governor Ehrlich and his running mate, Kristen Cox, who used to be with the NFB, is doing. I think they're behind in the polls about 10%. So all right. I'm not sure if there's going to be any jobs available in California, but maybe we can send Kristen your way. I'm not sure. Anyway, but voting is a problem. I'm not sure if our Diebold machines will survive. Now we're seeing a lot of problems with respect to having enough poll workers. But it's an issue, as Jeff says, that we're both working on.
Yeah.
Oh.
one way.
Yeah. So voting is an issue, and I think that, you know, we're learning from each other and trying to make the best of a situation is going to be important. A couple other things, and I just to give an update on what Jeff talked about concerning the quiet car issue. I had invited, I think quiet cars is a very important issue. One of the other areas that I brought before the bicycle and pedestrian group was the whole problem about quiet cars. Bicyclists hadn't thought about it with respect to themselves, but when we demonstrated how quiet they were, they realized that this is an issue. At the Quiet Car Seminar, which is going to be held November 4th, there's going to be some bicycle and pedestrian people there also, not just blind people. Pat Beattie is going to be the ACB representative from that group, and I had invited Deborah Kent Stein to come to our meeting on Sunday to go over what was said on, because our convention is next weekend, to give us a summary of what was going on, and she had accepted without hesitation. About a week later, I get another email from her, and she unfortunately had to decline. When I got her on the phone, it was an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
When I got her on the phone, she said, "Pat, I'm really embarrassed that I accepted and then declined, but my organization did not want me to come to your convention."
Surprise.
I said, and she says, and this is interesting. I don't feel too bad for them, but I think it's an interesting position. She said, "A lot of our members are having a real problem with this right now because this goes against part of what our philosophy is all about. We're going to ask that they make a change to quiet cars based on the fact that we're blind. We don't ask the environment to change around us, but now we need to make an exception. And we have some people that are having some serious problems with that, but we don't see any options." And I said to Deborah, and she said she needs to work with her own organization first. I said, "But quiet cars," and I think this goes along with what Jeff was saying, "is an important issue. And you won't be able to control the process. It's not just NFB. It's not just ACB. There's bicycle pedestrian groups. There's senior groups. There's a whole group of people. So we need to work together to be able to make sure that we have a good solution that encompasses everything for quiet cars." And she said that's true. And she will share information with us. And we'll see. And we'll see where that information leads. And as Jeff says, if California comes up with some solutions, some ideas, let's put it out there on the internet. Let's make sure that it's not a Maryland suggestion or an NFB suggestion or a California suggestion. We need to be able to share that information. I know we've got some good people going there. Janet Barlow will be there. BZ Benson will be there. You've got some good O&M people that are going to be there and brainstorm. I don't know what they'll come up with, but we'll see. And we'll share that information with you. And then last on my list of things that we're working on has to do with a story that came out that for me as Maryland president was a little disconcerting, but it's got kind of an interesting ending. Last year there was a problem with the Ronald McDonald House in Baltimore. It was alleged, and there's, you know, back and forth ideas as to whether they accepted service animals or not, and what their policy was, and it was written up in the forum, and I had one set of ideas, and I think Chris had another set of ideas, but that's neither here nor there. The interesting thing is that I went with Gary Norman in August, and we went to the Ronald McDonald House and met Marianne Rowan Braun, the executive director, and she gave us a tour of the place. We met some of the parents. We talked about the kids, and she said, "You know, we'd like to put a program together. We would like to partner with ACB of Maryland, ACB, and invite you over to our Ronald McDonald House and talk about what you do, and we can talk about what we do, and you can meet the kids and the families, and I think it would be great." So we had three of us went over there on Tuesday night. My wife, who loves guide dogs and can just talk about them, and Gary and myself. I just did the introductions. And they talked to the kids for like 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes. The kids, who are mostly terminally ill from the age of 2 to 19, got to meet the dogs afterwards, and it was just fabulous. These kids laughing, talking, squealing, and the dogs were just giving them kisses and all that kind of stuff. And what it represents to me in a nutshell is a little bit of what ACB is all about. You have a situation which could be a problem. You end up working with the people to try to change the problem and fix it, give back to the community. And when we left, and if you ask Marianne now about her feelings about ACB, We're her partners. If there is a problem or a question or anything like that with service animals, she'll come to ACB of Maryland first because we have a relationship with her. And I think that's kind of what ACB is all about. Building those relationships, taking the problems, building relationships and solving the problems. That's what I see that we do in ACB. I've had some people ask me from time to time, we don't hear about all the good that ACB does, and perhaps we have to do better at marketing. But from what you hear that Jeff says and Mitch and myself, I think we do a fine job. I think we do a real good job. I think what we found out at the Ronald McDonald House in Baltimore was typical of how the ACB works, that we confront the issue, the problem, we form a partnership, and we try to move forward and give back to the community. That's what we're trying to do in Maryland. I appreciate all the help that I've gotten from California on getting us started, and I appreciate the help that I'll get from you in the future. Thank you very much.
We have time for a couple of questions for Patrick, so if folks want to make their way to the microphone, I will also tell you, I want to also say, you know, a lot of us in this organization came from the other organization where, you know, their big pitch was we're all one organization, and if it's good enough for the folks nationally, it's good enough for the states. And I think we tend here in ACB sometimes, because we are a grassroots organization, we function really from the state up, to not always take into consideration that what we do in one part of the country can have a positive effect on what goes on in another part of the country. And I think it's really important to remember that even though we are a grassroots organization and our basic foundation is the state, that we are still one organization. I think Pat Sheehan demonstrated that by his remarks. All right. No one is going to put you on the firing line, Mr. Sheehan, so I want to thank you.
Thank you much. Okay.
I was going to say, Pat, and you and I will probably a couple of times vote on the same side in March, and probably a couple of times not on the same side in March. We have our mid-year board meeting coming up. The next order of business is elections. The chair of the nominating committee is Frank Welty. He's wearing two hats. So I'm going to ask Frank if he will again remind us of the candidates who were put forward. Is that a beeper, a segue? What is that?
It's sounds like a segue.
Yeah. Jeez. I was going to say, or an access van, yeah. Frank Welty, are you here? Come forward, please. You know, I tell you what, last Saturday, while Frank's making his way forward, last Saturday, Donna and I are taking Scotch over to the groomers. And we're walking, and all of a sudden, I realize there's something making noise behind us. And I said, Donna, what is that? And she turns around. It wasn't a Segway. It was a guy in an electric wheelchair, but it was almost as quiet as a Segway. And I said, I think we better get out of this gentleman's way. All right, Mr. Welty, if you will be so kind as to refresh our memories regarding the candidates who were put forward by the nominating committee last spring.
Yes, the slate of the nominating committee from last spring is as follows. President Jeff Tom, First Vice President Mitch Pomerantz, Treasurer Peter Pardini, Board Members Artis Bazin, Gabe Griffith, Lewis Preston, and David Jackson. This does not include... This was prior to Mr. Pardini's announcement that he would not come for another term as treasurer, and also the open position which has been made available by the resignation of Al Beagler.
All right. And what we are now going to do, as we always do, yeah, we'll need help here.
I forgot my other things.
We are going. Oh, you have more to say?
I forgot my other cards.
Oh, you left us. What we are going to do is to open the floor for each office. I will conduct. Excuse me. I have a frog that's competing. I will conduct the election for president as Mr. Tom is the nominee. Call for nominations. And once that election has been completed, I will turn the microphone over to Mr. Tom to complete the election process. So, the nominating committee placed in nomination Jeff Tom. Are there any other nominations for president? Are there any other nominations for president? Third time, are there any other nominations for president?
I move that nominations be closed.
We have a motion to close nominations and elect Jeff Tom by acclamation. We have a second. I've heard several seconds. All those in favor of electing Jeff Tom as president of the California Council of the Blind signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. I don't know if that was, I'm not sure what that was, but congratulations, Mr. Tom.
Thank you. I think whoever that opposition was had it right, but I'm not going to disagree. I want to thank you for allowing me to have two more years, giving me this honor. We got a lot of work to do out there, all of us do, and I pledge to, again, do my best. I want to warn you, this will be my last term. I have no desire to run for a fourth one, so we need to develop the leadership that this organization truly has. I'm ready to do everything I can in the next 2 years to make sure we can continue the progress that we've had over these many years. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. For the remaining offices, I will turn the mic over to President Tom.
Okay. Thank you, Mitch. Yes. What?
I'm on this board as a past president for 2 years because you
are. Well, that's all right. You're going to be around for another 20, so you could have more presidential terms to go. That's right. Okay. Now, for the office of first vice president, we have the nomination of Mitch Pomerantz. Do we have any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? For a third and final time, are there any other nominations?
I move that nominations be closed.
Okay, there's a motion the nominations be closed and that Mitch Pomerantz be elected first vice president of acclamation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Congratulations, Mitch.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I think you know that. Next summer, I will be running for president of the American Council of the Blind. Regardless of the outcome of that election, I will complete my commitment for these next 2 years and work as hard for CCB and support the work of Jeff Tom and the other officers and board members as I have the previous years. So thank you all very much.
All right. Yeah, you know, the only problem with his running next year is, you know, now that I don't have an election to deal with next year and I'm not chair of resolutions anymore, I intended to sort of take the convention off and just play, but he'll probably put me to work. Okay. We now have an open position of treasurer. And before we run that election, let us one more time during this convection, yes, it does get to be an oven once in a while.
Yes.
Let us salute the outstanding work of our treasurer, Mr. Peter Pardini. Okay. All right. Nominations are now open for treasurer.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Roger.
With the specific authorization and approval of the candidate, I wish to nominate Christopher Gray for treasurer.
Okay. Mr. Gray has been nominated, and yes, he has accepted. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? One more time, are there any other nominations?
I move that nominations be closed.
There is a motion that nominations be closed and that Christopher Gray be elected treasurer by acclamation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
And Mr. Gray is elected treasurer. You should have done that by intranet or something like that. With Symantec technology or something.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, inaccessible, Roger says. Yes. Yes. Okay, Frank, who is our first board position?
You got it right there.
Nominee. Oh, okay, I do. I have it right here. Thank you. First page. Okay, the first position is that of Artis Basin as the next nominee. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Don't laugh out there. Yes.
I nominate Barbara Rhodes.
Barbara is...
No, Barbara was not on
there. That's right. Barbara's not on there. So, yes. Okay, that's perfectly correct. The name of Barbara Rhodes has been placed in nomination. Are there any other nominations? Okay, is there a motion that nominations be closed? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Okay. Artis, who will your seconders, are your speeches be provided by?
Ken Miff and Richard Renna.
Okay. And Barbara, who will be providing yours?
Roger Peterson and Kathy Skyers.
Okay. Since Artis is the first is the nominee, as well as first alphabetically, we'll have her seconders go first. You have 5 minutes. Do we have a timekeeper? I can keep good enough time, but if we had somebody who had a second hand, that would be better.
Braille second hand. I don't think they make one.
I don't think they do. All right, Peter's going to keep time, so watch it. Ken, whenever you are ready.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, everyone. It gives me great honor to put into nomination Artis Basin for the position of board member. I think Artis has certainly proven herself over the last number of years since she moved here to California. She's been active on a daily basis, doing things, whatever was necessary for the California Council of the Blind, for all of us members. She's been responsible in large for a lot of the issues related to the Help America Vote Act and to work and do her best to make sure that we, as blind folks, have our secret ballot opportunities, as everyone else does. Artis has held various positions, including the treasurer of the American Council of the Blind, secretary of the California Council of the Blind. She's been president of the Greater Los Angeles chapter for 2 years now. She has also done so many other committee jobs that are necessary and has chaired several, and it really is a great pleasure to have Artis on our board. I believe Artis is the type of person that you will continue to be proud of because she's already proven with all of her work, all of her expertise, and all of her dedication, how important the California Council of the Blind is to her and to the entire blind community of California. Again, it gives me great pleasure to nominate, to put in the nomination for board position, Artis Basin.
Okay, everybody, this is Richard Retha. I'm also speaking on behalf of Artis Basin for the Board of Directors. Artis has played many roles in CCB, and primarily years ago when I was getting involved as a student, she helped the organization by writing a guide to a successful college experience, which is all over the internet and currently in publication. Many of the youth groups that I work with within CCB and on the job and other avenues, this publication has been invaluable because of Artis' efforts to work with youth and students. Artis has also been with us to Washington, D.C., has walked the halls in legislation for ACB, CCB, and many of the other groups, RSVA, that she's been involved with. I think she's dedicated and committed and can continue to provide the CCB what she has done. I also am supporting Artis Basin. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to begin passing out the ballots. Do not touch your ballots because we still have seconders to hear from, but we're just going to get the job done to hasten things along. Okay, are the seconders ready for Barbara?
Yes.
Okay, Roger, take it away.
Yes, it's my pleasure to nominate my chapter, my chapter colleague in the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, Barbara Rhodes, to what would be her fourth and last term on the board. Everybody knows Barbara. Barbara gets her points across. Everybody knows her voice and her sometimes somewhat, how do I want to say it, squeaky wheel type way of doing things. I sometimes tell her that she's dual handicapped. She's both blind and from New York. But she served several terms as president of the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. She has served she's been our perennial transit person on the local transit access committee and also on the elderly and disabled committee of the regional planning organization, the Bay Area Transit Commission, Metropolitan Transit Commission. She is vice chair of the CAT committee here, so she's been the architectural barriers and transportation person, along working right beside Jean Lozano on that committee. And, of course, you know all the work she's done with Kaiser, the latest episode of which has been getting the prescription bottles that talk. And she's done that. I mean, when she had a heart attack, you know, she was advocating for Kaiser to improve its accessibility while they were carting her away. You know. I mean, while she was in the hospital, she was calling that guy that was on our convention program and saying, get down here and talk to me about these print books that people are handing me about what procedures I'm about to go through. So, you know, she's advocacy. She lives and breathes, and it runs in her veins, advocacy does. And it's my pleasure again to suggest that we give her a fourth term on the CCB Board of Directors. Thank you.
How much time do I have, Mr. President?
You got 2.5 minutes.
I do?
Yes. You do.
Barbara Rhodes has been... would you people in the back like to join the group? I mean, the rest of us? Thank you. Barbara Rhodes has been a really great worker on the board. She comes to meetings. She pays attention. She goes to national meetings, and you don't find her wandering around somewhere. You see her sitting in the general sessions, going to various meetings, particularly transportation and other things. Barbara thinks we have a right to know what we are and what's happening to us. And I don't care if she's from New York or where, but I tell you one thing. When that lady talks to people, they pay attention. She is just, Roger mentioned, the talking medicine bottles. A lot of them, less of which we had them, but she's the one I think is the primary mover that now we've got them. And she just will go through and follow through. She's concerned about people. If you're ill, no matter how many committees she's serving on or how much she's doing, she finds the time to call you. She finds the time to give you support. She genuinely loves this organization. She's been a good, faithful worker for us in many committees. And I think we would not be as far along with transportation or other issues had it not been for Artis Basin. I'm sorry, Barbara Rhodes.
Or Barbara Basin or Artis Rhodes.
I'm sorry about that. Staff was talking in my left ear. I apologize to everybody that I named the wrong person. I am here for Barbara Rhodes. I would suggest when people are on the mic that people not talk in their ear. In any case, I'm going to support her. I hope you do. I think she's been a credit to the organization, done lots for us, and I'd like to get her on here so she could do lots more for us. That's Barbara Rhodes. Thank you.
That's great.
Okay. Now, raise your hands if you did not get a ballot. Please raise your hand. Well, that's true. That's a good point. They won't give you one if you don't have a badge, so.
Hopefully they have a badge.
Okay. Now, if you, and we'll be calling out the chapters at the same time, but if you want to vote for Artis Basin, do not tear off any corners. If you want to vote for Barbara Rhodes, tear off a corner. So, and we will collect your ballots. Now, I will begin, we're going to be able to, you're going to,
calculate.
Yeah. So we can do the chapter votes at the same time. So, and we will, those of you in the earlier chapters can begin to make your way toward the front.
Jeff, can you please repeat how you want the voting instructions?
You're going to be voting at the mic in the front, the earlier chapters obviously first. For those voting for, just for the ballots now, again, I've been asked to repeat, for those voting for Bazin, do not tear off any corners. Leave your ballot untorn. For those voting for Barbara Rhodes, tear off one corner. Okay. Now, ACB Capital Chapter, 12 votes. Delegate Norma Guerrero.
She's here.
Norma is here. Okay, well, then. It has been requested that the delegates try to not worry about going to the mic and just, I know you have been, but and then I will repeat the vote in order to save time. Say, Norma?
Barbara Rhodes, 12 votes for Barbara Rhodes.
Okay, 12 votes for Barbara Rhodes. Active blind, Inland Valley. The delegate is Glenda Castle. I'm sorry. 5 votes. Excuse me. 5 votes for Barbara. Okay. Alameda County Chapter. 5 votes. The delegate is Katrina McCurdy. Okay. 5 votes for Rhodes. Okay. Association of Multicultural Concerns. 5 votes. The delegate is Andrew Kohlmeier. Andrew, you here? The alternate is Lillian Scapey. Are you here?
They're both gone?
Both gone, okay.
What?
There are no votes from AMC. Okay, Bayview, 12 votes. Catherine Skivers. 12 votes, Rhodes. Braille Revival League of California, 5 votes, Lee Morton.
3 votes, Rhodes, 2 votes, Bazin.
3 Rhodes, 2 Bazin. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, 5 votes, Donna Sanchez.
5 votes, Rhodes.
5 votes, Rhodes. California Library Users of America, 5 votes, Leslie Tom.
3 Bazin, 2 Rhodes.
3 Bazin, 2 Rhodes. California School for the Blind, the delegate is Al Gill, 5 votes.
5 votes, Barbara Rhodes.
5 votes, Rhodes. Central Coast Low Vision Council, the delegate is Peter Schellen, 5 votes.
5 for Rhodes.
5 Rhodes. Compton Council of the Blind, the delegate is Betty Dukes, and the votes are 10. 5 for Rhodes, 5 for Bazin. East Los Angeles Chapter, Ramona Craig, 6 votes. 6 votes for Rhodes. Glendale Burbank, the votes are 6. The delegate is Rob Turner. 6 votes, Bazin. Greater Bakersfield, 5 votes. Walter Shavira. 5 votes, Bazin. Greater Long Beach, 5 votes, Robert Wendt.
3 votes, Bazin, 2 votes, Rhodes.
3 Bazin, 2 Rhodes. Greater Los Angeles, 6 votes, Richard Harmon.
Bazin.
6 votes, Bazin. Greater San Joaquin, 5 votes, Mary Beth Randall.
5 votes, Harmon.
5 votes, Bazin. Guide Dog Users of California, 5 votes, Ken Metz.
3 Bazin.
3 Bazin, 2 Rhodes. High Desert Chapter, 6 votes, Brad Fogarty. Barbara Rhodes. And that is 6 votes. Inland Empire Chapter, 15 votes, Bill Powers. 15 Bazin. Orange County Chapter, 5 votes, Andrea Pitzenbarger. 3 Bazin, 2 Rhodes. Orientation Center for the Blind, 5 votes, David Jackson.
3 votes, Rhodes, 2 Bazin.
Pyramid, 5 votes. Onetta Sally. 5 votes. Bazin. Redwood Empire Chapter. 13 votes. William Gillespie. 13 Bazin. San Bernardino, 6 votes. Gene Brennan.
6 votes. Rhodes.
San Diego Chapter, 7 votes. Jerry Wilson.
5
Rhodes, 2 Bazin. San Diego Braille Club, 5 votes. Charlene Ornelas.
5 votes. Rhodes.
5 votes. Rhodes. San Francisco Chapter, 7 votes. Winifred Downing.
4 Rhodes, 3 Bazin.
San Gabriel Chapter, 11 votes.
Bazin.
That was Palafrans Wolf. 11 Bazin. San Mateo County Chapter, 17 votes. Gene Ackerman.
17 Rhodes.
17 Rhodes. Silicon Valley Council, 14 votes. Roger Peterson.
14 Rhodes.
14 Rhodes. And that concludes the delegates, the chapters that I have.
While they're counting votes or finalizing the tally, I have an apology to make to Richard Retta, because he had asked me to acknowledge Kathy Bales while she was here, and the beeping we heard a few minutes ago, Kathy's a wheelchair user and left. And I'm sorry, didn't get a chance to do it while she was here. Kathy is the program manager south for the Department of Rehabilitation and is here, but she did leave. So Richard, let her know we did acknowledge her, and I'm sorry that we didn't do it while she was in the room. Yes, yes.
Okay.
So, I acknowledged the beep, at the time. We set?
Yes, Peterson gives the count.
All right, we have the
tally.
Vote count.
Bazin, 157 votes. Rhodes, 173.
Oh, my God. All right. Congratulations, Barbara. You're going to get up to a mic here. And
I think the final vote count was 173 Rhodes, 157 Bazin, I believe is what. Yeah.
Yes.
Somebody wanted it repeated.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for giving me a chance to serve my fourth term. I appreciate it all, and I'm going to work like hell to get talking pill bottles for everyone that needs it, and do everything else I can do to support the California Council of the Blind. And I respect my artists, and I know that she'll continue to work with California Council of the Blind, too. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
And Barbara, New York's a good place to be from. I've got the genes, so it's okay.
New York is a great place.
To be from. Yeah.
Okay. Just as long as you're not a Yankee fan or a Met fan or a Giant fan or whatever. Okay. Moving right along. The next board position is that of Gabe Griffith. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? One final time, are there any other nominations? Does the motion nomination be closed and Gabe Griffith be elected by acclamation? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed. All right, Gabe, you are the man. Okay.
He's coming.
Get a mic. Good.
It's his
second term.
Second term, yeah. I can't remember if he ran for an unexpired term.
No. I'm pulling a Mitch Pomerantz and walking up here without a dog or a cane.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you, everybody, for electing me to my second term, and I appreciate your confidence in my job that I've done the last couple of years and electing me to this board again. And I will do my best to represent you and do everything I can to further this organization over the next 2 years. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we have two more positions. The first position, the nominee, actually we have three.
Yeah.
Take that back. We have three. The first position is that of Lewis Preston.
Yeah.
Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Okay, is that a nomination or is somebody just yelling out there? It is a nomination, okay. The name of Artis Bazin has been placed in nomination. Are there any other nominations? And we have the Martinelli move motion, as we will call it in the future. All those in favor of closing nominations, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay. Who are your seconders going to be, Lewis? Okay, and who's your first one?
Robert Wendt.
Robert Wendt, okay. And Artis, are you going to have seconders again, or are you going to... Okay, you're going to waive yours. Okay, thank you. All right, the two of you will have 5 minutes. You can go ahead and make your way. We're going to pass out ballots again. Do not touch your ballots. So, the seconders can go ahead at any time.
This is really challenging. Lou gave me some things that I've never seen before. I used to work with him, so I'm very shocked here. Okay. Lewis Preston has been involved in the community for quite a long time, and I think that's something to be said also. In terms of, he continues in several other organizations, which I think brings forth representation of the blind community. And some of those things are Vice President of the Happy Children's Foundation. He's also a member of the Golden State Grand Lodge, 32nd degree. He's a life member of Phi Beta Kap Sigma. I didn't know you were that. Oh, well, never mind. he's a first recipient of the Oscar Morgan Education Award. He also is a member of Toastmasters International. He mentioned that earlier this evening, and Lou is a pretty good speaker. Lou also was an attendee at the Legislative Summit, both in Washington and Sacramento, and he's recently published 2 articles in the Blind Californian. So I think he's really made efforts to become more involved in the community, especially considering that Lewis's visual impairment is rather new. He's taken on an active role in the community. Thank you.
Kathy is.
I have to admit that I didn't know I was going to be Lewis's second speaker, but I'm always glad to speak for him because when I did it once before, he gave me a nice long resume of his, and I had trouble reading it because I couldn't believe he could do that many things. He's a counselor at where he has been working, and he really loves people and wants to help people. He asks a lot of questions, and I felt like it took him a little while to get on to being a board member, but once he did, he really got it, and he asks a lot of questions and makes a lot of suggestions. And I think one thing you need on a board is somebody that's thinking of the people and making recommendations. He does a lot of that. I think that he has been very active in his church and in all phases of his community. I think if you have anything that you need help with, he's willing to do it. He consistently calls every once in a while. If he knows that I'm just kind of down or something, once in a while he'll call and tell me what's going on. And it's nice to have somebody to talk to that you can rely on. I think that he has done good work on the board. I think he's really into it, really likes it. I think there are an awful people, a lot of people that wish him well. And so I'm not going to go on because you've already heard about him. And I'm going to hope that you vote for Lewis Preston.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. All right, now, listen very carefully because it is going to be the reverse. Anybody who did not get a ballot, please raise your hand. We'll get you one. Since Lewis, it's a tough decision I had to make here. Which way was going to be no corner? But as the nominee, let's have Lewis as do not touch your ballot if you're voting for Lewis Preston. Do not touch your ballot. If you're voting for Artis Bazin, then tear off one corner of your ballot. So, everybody get ready, and in just a moment we will pass my ballot down and get it out of my hands. Okay. All right. We'll do it the same way we did last time. You can just shout out your votes, and I will repeat them. ACB Capital Chapter, 12 votes. Norma Guerrero.
Nine for Artis. Excuse me, nine for Artis.
Okay, 9 for Preston, 3 for Artis. Okay, Active Blind, Inland Valley, the delegate is Linda Castle, and the votes are 5. 5 votes, Bazin. Alameda County, 5 votes, Katrina McCurdy. 5 votes for Preston. Association of Multicultural Concerns, Andrew Kohlmeyer, Lillian Scafey. Okay, neither one are here. Bayview Chapter, 12 votes, Kathy Skivers. 12 votes, Preston. Fair Revival League of California, 5 votes, Lee Morton.
3 votes, Bazin, 2 votes, Preston.
3 Bazin, 2 Preston. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, 5 votes, Donna Sanchez.
5 votes, Preston.
5 votes, Preston. Library Users of America, 5 votes, Leslie Tom.
3 Bazin, 2 Preston.
3 Bazin, 2 Preston. California School for the Blind Alumni Association, 5 votes, Al Gill.
5 votes, Preston.
5 votes, Preston. Central Coast Low Vision Council, 5 votes, Peter Schellen.
5 for Preston.
5 for Preston. Compton Council of the Blind, 10 votes, Betty Dukes. 10 votes, Preston. East Los Angeles Chapter, 6 votes, Ramona Craig. 6 Bazin. Glendale Burbank, 6 votes, Rob Turner. 6 Bazin. Greater Bakersfield, 5 votes, Walter Shavira. 5 Bazin. Greater Long Beach Chapter, 5 votes, Robert Wendt. Preston, 5 votes. Greater LA Chapter, 7 votes, Richard Harmon. 4 Bazin, 3 Preston. Greater San Joaquin Valley Chapter, Mary Beth Randall. 5 votes, Preston. Guide Dog Users of California, 5 votes, Ken Metz.
3 Bazin, 2 Preston.
3 Bazin, 2 Preston. High Desert Chapter, 6 votes, Brad Fogarty. 6 Preston. Inland Empire Chapter, 15 votes, Bill Powers.
7 Preston, 8 Bazin.
7 Preston, 8 Bazin. Orange County Chapter, 5 votes, Andrea Pitzenbarger.
3 Preston, 2 Bazin.
Orientation Center for the Chimes. Orientation Center for the Blind Alumni Association. Votes 5, David Jackson. 3 Bazin, 2 Preston. Pyramid Chapter, 5 votes, Onetta Sally. 5 Preston, correct? Okay, 5 Preston. Redwood Empire Chapter, 13 votes, William Gillespie. 13 Preston. San Bernardino Chapter, 6 votes, Gene Brennan. 6 votes, Preston. San Diego Chapter, 7 votes, Jerry Wilson.
7 votes, Preston.
7 votes, Preston. San Diego Braille Club, 5 votes, Charlene Ornelas.
5 votes, Preston.
5 votes, Preston. San Francisco Chapter, 7 votes, Winifred Downey. 4 Preston, 3 Bazin. San Gabriel Valley, 11 votes, Patricia Pat LaFrance Wolf.
6
Bazin, 5 Preston. San Mateo County Chapter, 17 votes, Gene Ackerman. 12 Preston, 5 Bazin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to know what she's doing out there.
Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. The delegate is Roger Peterson. 14 votes.
14 Preston.
14 Preston. And that concludes the delegate votes. Do we have any announcements or anything while we...
What I would like to say is that I hope that people haven't bought the raffle tickets, they will. And I'm real proud of Bayview I've done 90 books.
Wow.
Right. This is definitely, I hope you will continue to buy sweepstakes tickets. This has definitely been the biggest sale ever, at least by the way it looks. I mean, Maryland keeps having to get a bigger box because you can't hold them all. So it's looking really good. So turn them in. The earlier you get them in, the better. The easier it is for us to tear them all apart and get it all ready for tomorrow night. So,
Jeff, Rob,
Ken,
Turner.
Ken was next.
Yeah, I heard Ken next, I think.
Can I do it from here?
Somebody yeah, yeah.
All right. I just want to remind people that's been on the list, but the five-hour diabetic seminar will be online on November the 8th. If anyone is interested in getting the information on how to interact with it live via voice on the computer, please give me a call. Office can give me a number, because I'm going to remember it right now. Or you can also email at kenmetz@spcglobal.net.
Okay.
It's going to include a whole lot of, there are going to be two positions, two folks that have written books. First, to talk about the different types of drugs. Dr. Franz Wolf and I are both working on the committee with many others. And we'd really love to see all of you who are diabetic or know people who aren't participating.
So that's November 8th, correctly, Greg?
It's a Wednesday from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Okay, 10 to 3, an online seminar. And contact Ken if you want to get on the diabetic seminar.
Jeff, Rob Turner.
I think I heard Rob first and then Bernice.
I just wanted to take a minute while we've got a little extra time to publicize the Glendale Burbank Area Chapter's fundraiser. I've donated a couple of tutorials, one on web browsing tips and tricks, the other one on creating data CDs using just the operating system, your CD burner, and also we've got some great Kleenex box holders, nice needlepoint, real good looking, and then also flower baskets that brighten up a home for the holidays. So that's it. Thanks.
And they are lovely. I had to run out today before I spent my money at that table, but I have to go back because they are very lovely baskets. And if your tutorial on web browsing can do the job for me, boy, then it's worth something. Okay.
Are we ready?
Peter, go ahead. Hold it. Peter has a tally for us.
215 votes for Preston. 123 votes for Bazin.
Okay, congratulations to Lewis. I'm trying to get Lewis up here to a mic.
Yes, he found the microphone.
First of all, I want to thank you for your vote of confidence. I think that this organization is a one-of-a-kind organization. I think that there's a lot of love in this organization between the members in this organization. And I'd like to ask a favor of you. And I know this is unusual, but I would like for you to keep myself and my family in prayer.
All right.
Last night, after the board meeting, I received a telephone call from my wife. The news was that one of my closest cousins, residing in Texas, had passed. I spent 2 weeks in Texas, and I was hoping against hope that it would be different. But why am I sharing this with you? She was a chronic smoker. The results were almost inevitable. That when you have lung cancer, cancer all over your body, and emphysema, then don't be surprised next year when I put together a panel to deliver at this convention against what smoking can do.
What's his name, Lewis? What's his name?
Her name was Evelyn.
Thank you, Lewis. We certainly will keep that in mind. Okay. Next position, board nominee is David Jackson. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Okay, the name of Artis Bazin has been nominated. Are there any other nominations? And Martinelli comes through. All those in favor of closing nominations, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. I assume, Artis, you're waving your seconders? Okay. David, who is your seconders going to be? I couldn't give order here so I can hear Dave. Is Rob and Wynn?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You can begin to make your way up, Rob, and you two will obviously have 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. It's with a great thrill and the highest regard that I'm able to speak for my close friend Dave Jackson. I've known Dave for, 24 years now, going on 25. Originally, we met through my ex-wife, and Dave and I had the pleasure of playing beat baseball on a national team that came in third and fourth in a couple of tournaments. And that's where I really began to get to know Dave. And one of my favorite attributes of Dave's is that he's a wonderful listener. He's someone you can talk with, and he's going to hear you. He's someone who I believe is very objective. I think he's an excellent team player. I've heard him on various calls, and of course, when I lived up in San Francisco, he was president of that chapter for part of the time, and he did a wonderful job. So this is, his career is, he's had a number of jobs, including working for the IRS. He's worked for Letterman Hospital as a records clerk. He's worked for AT&T doing customer service, and if you can do that for any length of time, you got to be okay. He's just a very close friend, and he's someone that I really believe will make an excellent contribution to the CCB if given this opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. You, Rob, win.
I'm pleased also to be able to contribute to some remarks about Dave Jackson. As Rob said, he was president of the San Francisco chapter in the past. He's been vice president for the last couple of years. He's very loyal to the chapter, and he's also very loyal to the OCB. He's been president of the OCB alumni for a long time, and that's a hard group to work with because the people are spread all over the state, and they don't have regular meetings. But Dave hangs in there all the time. He's always there at the luncheons, and he's always talking it up. Last year, for the first time, he went as a representative to the legislative seminar for CCB. And he found that a very wonderful experience and came back to tell all the rest of us about it and has kept us aware of federal legislation at all the meetings since then. So I think you will be doing CCB a great service if you will nominate, or if you will elect Dave Jackson to the board.
All right, thank you. Okay, does anybody not have a ballot?
Yeah. I don't get one.
If you are eligible to vote? Okay. Wynn's barely old enough to be eligible to vote. Okay. All those who are going to vote for David Jackson, do not tear off any corners. Do not. And those voting for Bazin, tear off one corner. So, we will, in just a moment, begin the voting. And I'm going to pass my...
All right.
Okay, ACB Capital Chapter, 12 votes, Norma Guerrero.
7 for David Jackson, and the rest for
Artis. 7, seven Jackson, 5 Bazin. Active Mine, Inland Valley. 5 votes, Glenn Castle. 5 votes, Bazin. Alameda County, Katrina McCurdy. 5 votes for Jackson. AMC, is either Andrew or Lillian here?
No.
I just have to ask again. Bayview, Kathy Skivers. The votes are 12.
12 Jackson.
Braille Revival League, Lee Morton, 5 votes.
3 Jackson, 2 Bazin.
3 Jackson, 2 Bazin.
Repeat the
Can I have some order?
Repeat the vote ballot instructions.
The ballot instructions have been asked to repeat them. If you're voting for Jackson, do not mess with your ballot. If you're voting for Bazin, tear off a corner. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, 5 votes, Donna Sanchez.
Jackson.
5 votes, Jackson. California Library Users of America, 5 votes, Leslie Tom.
Jackson.
California School for the Blind, it's 5 votes, Al Gill.
5 votes, Jackson.
Jackson. 5 votes, sorry, on the last two I didn't say 5 votes. Central Coast Low Vision Council, 5 votes, Peter Schellen.
5 votes, Jackson.
5 votes, Jackson. Compton Council of the Blind, 10 votes, Betty Dukes. 10 votes, Bazin. East Los Angeles Chapter, 6 votes, Ramona Craig. Say again, Ramona.
6 Jackson.
Lindell Burbank, 6 votes, Rob Turner.
6 votes, Jackson.
6 votes, Jackson. Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, 5 votes, Walter Shavira.
5 votes,
Bazin. Greater Long Beach Chapter, 5 votes, Robert Wendt.
5 votes,
Bazin. Greater Los Angeles Chapter, 7 votes, Richard Harmon.
7 votes,
Bazin. Greater San Joaquin Valley Chapter, 5 votes, Mary Beth Randall.
5 votes, Bazin.
5 votes,
Bazin.
Guide Dog Users of California, 5 votes, Ken Metz.
4 Bazin, 1 Jackson.
4 Bazin, 1 Jackson. High Desert Chapter, 6 votes, Brad Hogarty. 4 Jackson, 2 Bazin. Inland Empire Chapter, 15 votes, Bill Powers.
7 Jackson, 8 Bazin.
Orange County Chapter, 5 votes, Andrea Pitzenbarger.
3 Jackson, 2 Bazin.
Orientation Center for the Blind, 5 votes, David Jackson. 5 votes, Jackson. That was tough. Pyramid Chapter, 5 votes, Annetta Sally. 5 votes, Jackson. Redwood Empire, William Gillespie, 13 votes. Bazin, 13 votes, Bazin. San Bernardino Chapter, 6 votes, Gene Brennan.
3 Jackson, 3 Bazin.
San Diego Chapter, 7 votes, Jared Wilson.
7 Jackson.
San Diego Braille Club, 5 votes, Charlene Ornelas.
5 votes, Jackson.
5 votes, Jackson. San Francisco Chapter, 7 votes, Winifred Downing.
7 votes, Jackson.
San Gabriel Valley Chapter, 11 votes, Pat Wolf.
11, Bazin.
San Mateo County Chapter, 17 votes, Gene Ackerman.
14, Jackson, 3, Bazin.
14, Jackson, 3, Bazin. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, 14 votes.
14, Jackson.
And that concludes the delegate vote. So we will await the tally. And yes.
You know that we get an hour more for this convention tomorrow night, and possibly the other way.
Yep.
True enough. Another hour's sleep.
Bravo.
Did you say they thank it for another hour?
Not me.
Having an extra hour of sleeping at home. Yeah, same way this night. Extra hour alone bed tomorrow.
Donna Seliger, you're at a microphone.
There it is.
Hold on.
I would like to invite all of you
to attend the 2007 ACB convention, which will be held in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It will be at the Hyatt Regency and the Millennium Hotels. They are directly across the street from one another. And a couple weeks ago, a group of us went to Minneapolis and did a lot of research on tours. So if you're into tours, you have a lot of nice surprises coming. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you in Minneapolis this summer from June 30th through July 7th. Thank you.
You're not legal, Dominic. All right, Minneapolis, that's the place to be next summer, everybody. We got a president to elect and a lot of fun to have.
Yeah.
Okay, Peter's going to give us the tally.
Peter,
Wait a minute. We're going to...
I have the count. Jackson, 197. Oh, Bazin, 137.
Okay, congratulations, David. You're going to make your way to a mic.
One more.
One.
I have a whole lot of people to thank. I want to thank Rob Turner. I also want to thank Winifred Downing. I want to thank the nominating committee, and especially Catherine Skivers for waking me up on a Friday morning to ask me if I would be interested in being in the running as a board member. And she said, I'll give you about 2 hours to think about it. And I thought about it, and I said, I can do this. I'm like any good athlete, I want to do this. I want the ball. So I won't always agree on everything that the board sets forth. But I will work really hard. I'm goal-driven, so I'd like to do the best I can. I've got 2 years, so I promise to do the best I can. And with your help, we'll be able to. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
All right, David. You know, there is a theory that I totally espouse to, being a supervisor, that those who ask for work get dumped on, so you
That's
just did.
Right.
Okay, we have an open seat. It is a one-year seat. It's for the seat vacated by the unfortunate resignation of Al Bigler. Are nominations are now open for the one-year seat?
I would like to nominate...
I heard Kathy first.
Okay, Peter Pardini. He has been a fabulous board
Okay, whoa, whoa, that's enough. That's okay. enough.
No speech.
No speeches. Okay, are there any other nominations?
For that, I would like to nominate William Gillespie.
Okay, William Gillespie's name has been placed in nomination.
For that, I would like to nominate
Lee Morton's name has been placed in nomination.
No.
You can't. Are there any other nominations? Final time. Are there any other nominations? Now you can.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Wait a minute. Did we miss one? Okay. We don't want to, you know, just because I didn't hear something, it doesn't mean we want to miss somebody. Go ahead. Artis Bazin's name has been placed in nomination. Okay. Hey, let's, you know, we can vote for whoever we want to, but there's no reason to, you know, let's just have an election here. There's now a motion the nominations be closed. All those in favor? Okay. All opposed. All right. Very good. So, we have... Artis, I assume you're waving your seconders? Okay. Artis is waving her seconders. Now, the other nominees are Peter Pardini. Peter, who will your seconders be?
They'll be Jane Cardiff and... Kathy Skivers.
Okay. All right. Jane Cardis and Kathy Skivers. And Peter will not be, just so everybody knows, Peter will not be calculating for this election.
Or timekeeping.
That's right. He'll have nothing to do with it. William Gillespie, who will your seconders be?
Burl Brown and Eric Smiley.
Burl Brown and Eric Smiley. Okay. And Lee Morton, who will yours be?
Ann Kaiser and Doug Martin.
Okay. Ann Kaiser and Doug Martin. Okay, so Peter seconders can start forthwith.
Need a time.
And all that. Well, we don't do that till the end. Yes, Jane's going first. Her name was mentioned first, so.
Oh.
No, I'll keep time. Don't worry about it. We'll be all right.
Okay. Well, Peter has proven himself over and over as treasurer of our California Council of the Blind. He works in the exhibit rooms. He's knowledgeable. He knows about the comings and the goings. He knows about the process for the California Council of the Blind. He's been such an active board member. I think that it's so important to elect somebody with a strong background, and Peter has it. There's no question about it. He is, what can I say? He is an absolute outstanding man. He is, I don't know what to say, except Peter is the best qualified individual for this job. There is no question about it. And I could say it over and over, but it still comes out the same. Peter is a person. He works in the exhibit room. He helps with everything he can. Anytime anybody needs anything, Peter is there. And Peter is your man. Please vote for Peter.
Okay. Kathy is next.
Peter Pardini has a background in accounting, which has been invaluable to us for a long time on the board. He has made some, helped us make some solid investments that has put us financially, I think, where we are. He has decided that, and he has not decided, but his job has increased in amounts of pressure, and he has decided to get married this May, for those of you who didn't maybe know. And so he felt that he would like to step down from all of the activity which the treasurer's job takes. It's a big lot of work, and he did, though, indicate he'd like to stay on the board. I find that working with him, and I probably worked as closely with him as long as anybody when I was president, I found that he did wonderful work, whether it was his assigned work or whether he got volunteered, which I did quite often. He got volunteered in the hospitality room. He got volunteered in the exhibits. He got, you know, wherever we were, he got volunteered for, and he always, if he goes to, you ever go to a chapter meeting in the Bay Area, I don't care whose chapter it is, he'll be selling tickets, pouring coffee, helping in general. And I tell you, I hope you won't vote for Peter, even though he did this one thing I just didn't quite understand. Jane and I asked him where he thought he would get married, and he said he thought Maui. And Jane and I made him what we thought was a sterling offer to have him get married at the spring convention, and he wasn't interested at all. And even in spite of that, Peter, I hope that everybody will vote for you, because I'm sure going to.
Thank you. So, William Gillespie is the next candidate, and Burl is the first seconder. Okay.
Good evening. I would like to formally present Bill Gillespie as a candidate for the nomination for a candidate for the board. He's a relatively young member of CCB. He's been extremely active in our local chapter. He's been my vice president. He's been our number one fundraiser. He does anything that's asked of him, and I think he would be a good touch of new young blood. Thank you.
Thank you, Burl. And Eric, you are next.
Thank you. Gives me great pleasure to speak on behalf of William Gillespie as our board member. He is a relative newcomer to the agency, but up at our local chapter up in Redwood Empire, he is a man that is remarkably thorough. Whenever he is presented with a job, he does it. Without frenetics, without distraction, he takes on the job, and in his kind of quiet but serious way, does it. And he is, as Beryl was saying, a super fundraiser in our chapter for our walkathons and a dogathon thing we do for the Earl Baum Center of the Blind up there in Santa Rosa. He is generous, he is giving, he is a great roommate, and he is your man for board member. He will serve you, this council, and all of us here gathered as he serves the Redwood Empire chapter. I urge you to vote for William Gillespie as the new board member. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Now, will Lee's seconders come to the mic? Ann and Doug. Ann Kaiser, needing no introduction.
I thought Ann was going to go first. Well,
oh, I don't care.
Okay, this is Doug Martin. I just wanted to say it is a great honor and a great pleasure to speak on behalf of Lee Morton. I've known Lee for 17 years. I'm sure most of you know her fairly well. She has been the president of Guide Dog Users of California. She has been the president for the Braille Revival League of California. She is the chairman of the Crisis Committee, and I, as one who have benefited from the services of the Crisis Committee, am extremely grateful for her leadership in that regard. She serves on the Public Relations Committee. She is currently the president of our San Diego chapter. That doesn't mean she's too busy for this board position, however. She's also the executive director of the Blind Community Center of San Diego. She's one person that I can say I have seen her take leadership roles in just about any type of situation, and she can remain poised and gracious when dealing with people in a yacht club or people in a homeless shelter. She's one person I know who can definitely do the job and remain calm and gracious. And I just want to add, as someone who's known her for 17 years and have been attending these conventions for 15 years, San Diego has had no representation on CCB's board. We are the second largest city in California, and we have had no representation on the CCB board, at least as long as I've been a member. And I just wanted to recommend that you vote for Lee Morton and give her an opportunity to serve. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ann?
Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth there, Doug, but I am both pleased and honored to bring forth the name of Lee Morton to fill in this one-year position on the board. On a personal level, since Doug mentioned about everything else about Lee, I've known Lee since first grade. I won't tell you what year that is, what was, but it's probably fairly safe to say that I've known Lee longer than anyone in this room. So I can speak for the great qualifications that Lee has personally and as Doug mentioned, serving on various committees, most notably having served on and chaired the Crisis Committee, which we all know is so crucial to our efforts in CCB. I was really pleased to spend a weekend back in July with Lee's chapter, and she was gracious enough to let Dan and I stay at her house. And I can tell you one thing, from dawn to dusk, almost 24/7, that phone's ringing. Lee's there to answer and do whatever needs to be done for whoever needs her to do it. She's always there. She's very, very not only active in her chapter, but she's committed to every individual that she deals with, and she's always there to give whatever help, whatever hand that she has. And I think sometimes she must have five or six hands because it seems like she's always busy and always committed to what she's doing. So just on that alone, and what my other seconders that wanted to say about Lee, please consider Lee as a breath of fresh air, some new blood in this chapter, in this organization. And as was mentioned before, let's give the lovely city, my hometown, San Diego, some representation. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Now, I'm going to give you ballot instructions. And this one, since it's an open seat, we don't have a nominee, we will do it alphabetically. It's probably the easiest way to do it. No, because you don't want to give... Alphabetically is the easiest way when you don't have... there is no nominee. There is no nominee. So, Bazin would be first. Morton would be... So Bazin would be no corners. Gillespie would be one corner. Morton... And I'm going to repeat this a couple times because I don't want to cause any problems. Morton would be two corners. And Pardini would be three. So, repeat that again. Bazin is no corners. Gillespie is one. Morton is two. Pardini is three. And I'm going to repeat it a third time because I just think it's important. Rather, do it too many times is not enough. Bazin, nothing. Gillespie, one. Morton, two. Pardini, three. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
The rule, I was just discussing with Mitch and I, is a rule that if we do not have a majority, we drop the lowest candidate, and then we have to vote again. We get a majority. See, as far as we can ascertain, that's been the rule that we followed. Well, we're just taking one vote right now, and let's see what happens after that vote. That's correct. You need 50% plus one for a winner. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to repeat them slow this time, folks, because we don't want to make any mistakes. So, if you will be slow about giving them, and I'm going to be slow about repeating them. I know it's late, but I don't want it to get any later than necessary. Okay, ACB Capital Chapter, 12 votes, Norma Guerrero.
12 votes for Morton.
12 votes, Morton. Active Blind, Inland Valley. 5 votes, Glenda Castle. Bazin, did you vote for Bazin?
Yeah.
Okay, just can't hear. 5 votes, Bazin.
Yeah, okay, I just had to...
Okay, it's Alameda County Chapter, 5 votes, Katrina McCurdy.
5 votes
for Hold it, let her... 5 votes for Morton. Okay, Association of Multicultural Concerns, Andrew Kohlmeier, Lillian. Okay. Bayview Chapter, 12 votes, Kathy Skivers. 12 votes, Pardini. Braille Revival League of California. 5 votes, Lee Morton. 5 votes, Morton. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. 5 votes, Donna Sanchez. 5 votes, say your votes because it's just good. 5 votes, Pardini. California Library Users of America, 5 votes, Leslie Tom.
5 votes, Pardini.
5 votes, Pardini. California School for the Blind Alumni Association, 5 votes, Al Gill.
5 votes, Pardini.
5 votes, Pardini. Central Coast Low Vision Council, 5 votes, Peter Schellen.
Pardini, 5 votes.
5 votes, Pardini. Compton Council of the Blind, 10 votes, Betty Dukes. 10 votes, Bazin. East Los Angeles Chapter, 6 votes, Ramona Craig.
6, Pardini.
Glendale Burbank Chapter, 6 votes, Rob Turner. 6 votes, Bazin. Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, 5 votes, Walter Shavira. That's 5 votes. I'm sorry. Say that again. 3 votes, Artis, and 2 votes for Peter. Is that correct? Okay. 3 votes, Bazin. 2 votes, Pardini. Greater Long Beach Chapter, 5 votes, Robert Wendt.
3 votes, Bazin.
2 votes, Morton. Correct? Okay. Greater Los Angeles Chapter, 7 votes, Richard Harmon. 7 votes, Bazin. Greater San Joaquin Valley Chapter, 5 votes, Mary Beth Randall. 3 votes, Pardini. 2 votes, Morton. Guide Dog Users of California, 5 votes, Ken Metz.
1 Pardini, 1 Bazin, and 3 Morton.
1 Pardini, 1 Bazin, 3 Morton. You're doing good. You did good. High Desert Chapter. 6 votes, Brad Fogarty.
6
Pardini. Inland Empire Chapter. 15 votes, Bill Powers. 8 Bazin. 7 Pardini. Orange County Chapter. 5 votes, Andrea Pitzenbarger. Okay, that's 2 Pardini, 2 Morton, and 1 Bazin. Okay. Orientation Center for the Blind. 5 votes, David Jackson. 3, Pardini. 2, Bazin. Pyramid Chapter. 5 votes, Onetta Sally. 5, Pardini. Red Vampire Chapter. 13 votes, William Gillespie. 11, Gillespie. 2, Pardini. San Bernardino Chapter. 6 votes. That was Gene Brennan there, I hope, trust. 6 votes, Pardini. San Diego Chapter. 7 votes, Jerry Wilson.
7 votes, Morton.
7 votes, Morton. San Diego Braille Club, 5 votes, Charlene Ornelas.
5 votes, Pardini.
5 votes, Pardini. San Francisco Chapter, 7 votes, Winifred Downing. Seven votes, Pardini. San Gabriel Valley Chapter, 11 votes, Pat Wolf.
Pardini.
11 votes, Pardini. San Mateo County Chapter, 17 votes, Gene Ackerman.
17, Pardini.
17, Pardini. Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, 14 votes, Roger Peterson.
14, Pardini.
14, Pardini. And that's it. So we will await the tally, and we will take out the lowest and keep the other three and vote again. Okay, here is the tally. Bazin, 75 votes. Gillespie, 16. Morton, 63. And with a majority, Peter Pardini, 182 votes. Congratulations, Peter. All right, and he's got a mic.
Boy. Thank you guys very much for your support. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to continue to work hard for the California Council of the Blind. Basically, the only thing I won't do is the day-to-day treasurer's report, but I will support the treasurer and the board of directors in any way that I can, and I will continue to be co-chair of the exhibit room and help with the CCB registration desk and other duties that Jeff may assign to me. Again, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Peter. Artist wants to have the mic for a moment.
Thank you, everyone who supported me, and I'll still work for CCB. I do love the organization. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the hour is late. The second general session of this convention stands in recess until 1:30 this afternoon. Have a good night.